much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi there. It's a pretty day today. I like pretty days. Do you like pretty days? Hello, I'm a fly.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
I swear to God, you will come back stronger than ever. Like Lance Armstrong, but with two balls.
Finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is...
black.
That's racist.
And now...
oh, my God.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, my God.
Snooki, what a delight.
She's beautiful.
I love her. I'd like to interview her again, too. That went really well.
When are you guys going to let me hear that interview? I was on vacation when you guys talked to Snooki, but you still are walking around hitting each other in the face for allowing what happened to happen, and I still don't know what happened.
Well, Bean voted no, smartly, and then he was on vacation, so then I said, well, let's just talk to her. Let's roll the dice. And it was, I don't know, it was just... you know, me asking a question and trying to probe her a little bit, trying to be funny a little bit, and she was just like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Was it more her then than you guys? I mean, she just was she was not feeling it that day?
It was a big combination of me and her. Just didn't mix. It just was one of the worst interviews ever. It made me want to change the channel, and I don't know how to do that in here.
Wait, can I get Big Boy in these headphones? What's going on?
I'm not quite sure how to do that.
Well, it has become a legendary, awful low point of the Kevin and Bean Show, and I'm just sad to say that I wasn't able to hear it because I enjoy
those. Shut up, Snooki.
That's what I'm saying.
I enjoy those moments when we crash and burn.
Yeah.
So what's going on with our girlfriend, Lisa May?
Don't know.
She did follow your advice, though, is that, you didn't see her email?
No.
She sent us an email saying she was liquid from the waist down.
Oh!
And that's your advice. That's what you always tell people to tell. You know, if you want to get out of work, you just tell people that.
Regardless of what's wrong.
Exactly.
You say liquid from the neck down, and then nobody wants a follow-up question.
Right. Doesn't matter if you're hungover or you just got in a fight with your boyfriend or you got a flat tire. Doesn't matter what the real excuse is. Say liquid for the waist down, and then there's no further questions, and then they go, oh, thank God she's not coming in.
Thank God I don't have to talk to her anymore about this, too.
Exactly, right.
Holy crap.
Well, maybe. Yeah, that could be part of it. So, anyway, we're very sad about that. A day without Lisa is like, well, it's like a day without Lisa.
Yeah. Hard to argue.
Let me get started with this story, and then we'll tell you about today's huge action-packed Kevin and Bean Show, because we do have a lot of stuff coming up on this Tuesday, the 17th of January. This story comes out of Connecticut, a man facing numerous drug charges after he admitted to police that pulled him over that he had two Ziploc bags of marijuana in his butt. Now, here's what's curious about this story. We see stories all the time with people who are hiding stuff in their butt. This is a 20-year-old guy who's driving down the road on Foxen Road in North Branford, Connecticut. Police detect an odor of marijuana coming from the car. The man admits that he had two Ziploc bags of marijuana inserted in his buttocks, according to police. That's the term that they prefer.
Why would he? It seems like that came too early in the story.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And, I mean, look, I have a lot of questions about this. Do you think that he realized he was being pulled over and had drugs in the car and then shoved them in his butt? Or do you think that he was driving around with them in his butt and he got pulled over?
I would guess panic. Panic.
I hope so.
But either way...
wait until they find it? Let them find it?
Relatively safe until the search starts.
Because I don't think they search you for... See, I don't know much about this. I'd love to hear from a police officer. But if they smell marijuana, but they look in the car, or you give them permission to search the car, and they let you out of the car, and they don't, you know, they check your pockets and stuff, if they don't find any pot, I doubt right there on the roadside they're going to, you know, ask you to bend over and spread them. And I also doubt that there's enough evidence at that point for them to arrest you and take you back to the station and do a more exhaustive search. Wouldn't you think you'd get away with it if you put them in your butt?
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
Yes. Yeah, I would think so. I would think he would, especially on just a regular traffic stop. Maybe he had other warrants or something. So
It doesn't say why they pulled him over. That's, again, you know, I find...
Well, they didn't pull him over for having weed in the butt.
No, they didn't at all.
So,
And listen to this. And this also plays to maybe this guy is just, he just cracks too easily. Maybe he ought to learn on, you know, learn a little bit about holding something back. He then told police he had more marijuana at his house.
What?
The police went there and found that, plus ecstasy, plus 11 Ziploc baggies of pot and packing material. So he basically just gave it all
wow.
up right there.
And I know a guy in Mexico that I go down to get my drugs from.
Right.
What's wrong with this guy?
The last paragraph of this article, by the way, says that North Branford police on the same day stopped another car on the same road for suspicious activity. That driver admitted to police that he had a plastic bag containing cocaine inserted into his buttocks. He was also arrested and charged with numerous drug violations. Two separate people on the same road on the same day with different drugs unrelated to each other.
Oh, unrelated. Both, no way.
Both had drugs in their butts.
You think they're unrelated?
I do. Yeah.
What?
There's no reason to suggest that they aren't.
Same place.
Same road.
Same road.
Two different guys,
drugs
two different drugs, both
butts.
In the butt. Yep.
Just random?
Is that crazy?
No, yeah, because there's no way. It seems like it has to be a group
What would the relationship be?
Drug dealer?
Is this some sort of a gang where that's the initiation? You have to drive around with plastic in your ass?
I don't know, unless that's just the way they move it. But the fact that it happened twice at the exact same location makes me think they have to be somehow related.
Well, it says it's on the same road, Foxon Road. It doesn't say if it was the same intersection. I don't know how big a road that is or anything like that. But just too many questions on this story. And I would think, again, I would think if you're fast enough and are able to shove it, you know, shove it up there in the time after you see the police lights and before you get out of the car, it seems like that should work. It seems like you should get away with that.
Well, what you need to do is follow that one through.
Well,
you push there. Now follow it through and just see if you can get away with it. You might as well. It's there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't crack under pressure. Don't give up.
It's happening in my butt. sir, can I see your license? It's happening in my butt. That's crazy. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Leave it be, I say. But you always asking questions. So many pointless questions.
Yeah, I do have pointless questions. That's true. There's a study out, and this is really bizarre to me because my name seems, to me, average.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
No, average in that it's, you know, Brad or Brian or Jim or Kevin or... Apparently, Kevin
is... Just a normal, boring name in your mind.
Apparently, there's a study that's been done, and Kevin is the worst possible name for a kid.
That's a surprise to me, too, because I would still put... You know, Adolf ahead. I mean, there are other names that come to mind that I think would be worse for a child. But according to a lot of research that they've done, the name Kevin has terrible associations with it.
And there's that new movie, We Need to Talk About Kevin?
Yes.
Starring that man, Tilda Swinton. And then there's Kevin on The Office. And then every Kevin that I know in showbiz, except for yours truly, has problems.
Every Kevin that I know in showbiz, this including yours truly, has problems.
So we got that coming up today. We also have the editor of Maxim Magazine talking about their new issue, Dan Bova. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the football games over the weekend.
Woo!
Wow. Was I excited. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And we have the Golden Globe highlights. If you can call them that. It was a long show. It was a very long show. So we have some highlights of that coming up, too, just after 6. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 551.
We are the station that is sending you to Germany, because nothing bad ever comes from Germany, to see Blink 182. That is destination number 3 for the K-Rock World Tour 2012 all week long, including this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give you a chance to win the Blink 182 CD catalog and be eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to Germany to see the band in concert. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend, man?
And you get a ShamWow.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't think so. Yeah, everybody gets a ShamWow.
Okay.
That's from Germany, and that's good stuff right there.
They make good stuff in Germany. Yeah,
that's what I hear.
It is Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday, so we're going to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the long holiday weekend. Here is number 1, Contraband, starring Mark Wahlberg, Kate Beckinsale, about smuggling.
And I hear that's bad. Is that bad, Ralph?
Depends on how you do it. If you do it up the butt, it can be kind of fun.
No. I mean the movie. Here's the movie.
Oh, you're talking about smuggling. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
$28.8 million made it number one over the weekend. Not a big weekend, but still.
I saw it, and it was okay.
And that's standard,
for, and that's for somebody who likes everything.
Yeah, really. So, yeah. Kevin says it was okay. Then it was probably the worst film ever.
Oh no.
Beauty and the Beast 3D, in its debut, did very well for itself, $23.5 million. Then Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, A Joyful Noise, and Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, rounding out the top five. The remainder on the list, The Devil Inside, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, War Horse, and We Bought a Zoo, top 10 this weekend. The Iron Lady in limited release showed up at number 11, if you're curious what happened to that new film. It's where she plays... Helen Mirren.
Right. Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher. Yeah, that's it. I knew it was an old British lady. Sure. I just couldn't remember which one. Congratulations to Kelsey Grammer, Golden Globe winner Kelsey Grammer, for his powerhouse performance on Boss. Everyone's talking about Boss. Everyone, that is the hottest show on television. It's must-see TV. Everyone rushes home to catch Boss. I'm sorry. Is there a show called Boss on the air?
That's my question.
That's what I said last night, or the other night when it was on. Boss?
He's what everyone is, Boss? Everyone is doing is going, do I get the Stars channel? Where is that?
Yes. He and his new wife, Katie, who he thanked during his acceptance speech, are expecting twins. He broke the news backstage at the Golden Globes this weekend.
Isn't he like 80?
Yeah. He's getting up there.
Yeah.
He already has, I think, four other kids, too.
Let me see. A 7-year-old son named Jude, a 10-year-old daughter named Mason. That's two. Two older girls, 19-year-old Greer and 28-year-old Spencer. Yeah, so he's got four other kids. Now he's going to have six with the new twins.
He's got that 30 years apart. Wow, that's a weird life.
He's got that solid TV show, that
Boss. The award-winning Boss. Everyone loves Boss.
I hear it is very good, by the way, but I haven't made the effort to find it, but I hear
people
it's very good.
People can't stop talking about Boss.
I hear you.
Boss and whatever Laura Dern is that apparently is also
never
very,
saw that
very good and people love.
That might be the part of the problem with the Golden Globes is none of us have watched any of the shows they talk about.
They're foreigners. They like different stuff than we do. I think that's the problem. I thought I was watching the People's Choice Awards there for a minute while I was watching. I was like, who are these people and who are they giving awards to? What's going on?
What was Boss? What was the category?
Best dramatic actor, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think you won best actor in a drama.
Crazy.
It sounds like a show that you would love, though, Kevin. You know what it's about? It's about a corrupt Chicago politician who is ruthless. And apparently it's very... I mean, it's gotten great reviews since it's been on the air, but I
haven't
seen it
yet. How long has it been on the air, even?
I think
40 years now. It's the longest running sitcom series on television.
This was just its first season, so it's only been on, eight episodes or whatever. It's a shortened season like they do on cable sometimes, but I hear it's very good.
Big buzz for Boss.
Ralph, you don't want them to... I mean, you don't think popularity should be what they vote on for a quality award, though, do
but
you?
How many actors did they skip over before they got to Kelsey Grammer and Boss? John Hamm not even nominated in that category. I mean, it was weird because they lump series and TV movie and miniseries all into the same categories when it comes to the actors.
Yeah, so it's a weird show.
Get a weird mix of people. Like, no Michael C. Hall, no John Hamm. I mean, it wasn't, and yet Kelsey Grammer found his way into the voting pool.
I'm sure you don't have it right in front of you, but whoever the five people were, he would have been at the
Kelsey Grammer was the most famous, by the way, of the five people. I'll tell you that much.
Correct.
Yeah. Weird show.
Yeah. Bean, I'm surprised you're here. I'm surprised working today. I'm surprised you're not just curled up in a fetal position in sadness.
I think I know why, but go ahead and tell me.
The man who loves death conveniently forgot to mention that the founder of the Cracker Barrel chain is dead.
Oh.
Yeah, Dan Evans.
I ate at the Cracker Barrel on Sunday.
In his honor?
In Austin, Texas. No, this was before we knew he died.
Bean not only eats at the Cracker Barrel, but he also shops there. That's where he gets the predominance of his clothing. If you've ever seen him dress, he buys clothes at the Cracker Barrel.
I love the Cracker Barrel.
How can you love it? It's crap.
First of all, it's not crap. First of all, the restaurants are delicious. But then they have the gift shop where you can buy everything from old-fashioned candy to Hee-Haw DVDs to Western shirts.
Let me stop you right there.
They have everything.
Let me stop you right there. Did you say hee-haw DVDs?
Just as an example. I mean, that's one of the things
you
can get.
Old-fashioned candy?
Yes.
What the F are you talking about?
I spent so much time my day trying to hunt down old-fashioned candy.
It is a real
chore. Where can I get a licorice whip?
I read quite a bit about the man who founded the Cracker Barrel that died this weekend.
Oops, sorry, I'm out of time. And it's not even my feature.
That they had over $2 billion a year in sales. I mean, this was a huge company, hundreds of locations. I mean, very popular, but they don't have them in, you know, places where they get mocked, like Los Angeles.
They don't have places with running water or teeth.
Yeah. F the Cracker Barrel.
I love the Cracker Barrel.
Glad this guy's dead.
I'm glad he's dead just on Bean's love.
Well, the way he described it, you can tell it's a great place with the hee-haw DVDs and the old-fashioned candy.
They got rocking chairs out on the porch in the front and everything.
That is the best.
They got lumpy gravy and F. Obama paperweights. They've got it all, really.
And let me tell you.
Do they have sawdust on the floors?
When I was in Austin over the weekend, I drove to Waco to go to the Dr. Pepper Museum like I do. And I'm not kidding. There must be 6 Cracker Barrels between Austin and Waco. I mean, they're everywhere in Texas. And I didn't stop at all of them, but I did hit a couple of them.
Well, as you know, never mind.
And we're talking about a little bit about the Golden Globe Awards that happened over the weekend. Elton John and Madonna apparently in a big of a cat fight now. Big cat fight between Elton John and Madonna.
Can't tell who I hate more out of this one.
Oh, Madonna.
That's easy. She's pretty good.
Did you see her acceptance speech?
She thought she won for her movie, I think. She was confused. My movie was just too draining on me. I couldn't make my music because my movie... Oh, thank you for loving my movie. No, we don't. No one loved it. They gave you an award because you're famous. Sit down.
And the award was for her song for the movie.
Right. Not even the movie.
Not even the movie. And by the way, her accent is getting weirder,
it
right?
Is, yeah. Yes.
So Elton John told Golden Globe reporters that before the awards that she had no effing chance of winning the honors for Best Original Song. Turns out he was wrong. She did win that for her film... W.E. The song was Masterpiece. And then Elton John's husband started slamming her, saying in a statement on Facebook that these awards have nothing to do with merit. Her speech was embarrassing in its narcissism, and she should just F off.
Fantastic.
So
it's on.
It is on. Between two gay icons, Elton John and Madonna. But I hope Elton wins. Although he's... He's starting to compress or something, Elton. It looks like his bones had been removed. He's just like a sort of a pile of flesh on his chair there. It was very odd.
He's always been short, but he was about 6 inches shorter than usual.
But he looked like he was having a great time at the awards. Yeah. He looked very jolly.
He had a perma scowl on. Yes.
But if they settle this in the octagon, though, unfortunately, Madonna will kick his ass, right?
Well, yeah, she's sinewy. She's got that going on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ugh. I have to do it, Kevin. I'm sorry. I have to do it.
What? You don't have to. You can leave anyone off you want. They're your birthdays.
She's a pretty big star.
Who?
Betty White. Mm. Betty White. Her 90th birthday today, Betty White does. James Earl Jones is 81. Maury Povich is 73 years old today. And he is not the father. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals is 53. Jim Carrey turns 50 years old. First Lady Michelle Obama is 48. Oh. Actor Naveen Andrews of Lost. He was Saeed on that program.
Great.
43 years old. DJ Tiesto is 43. Kid Rock, 41 years old today. Actress Zooey Deschanel celebrates her 32nd birthday. Ray J. 31 years old today. And adult actress and film reviewer Sophie D. Sophie D celebrates her 28th birthday.
I miss her.
Today. She is... I wish the Golden Globes had been hosted by Sophie D instead of Ricky Gervais this weekend. It would have been very, much more entertaining. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up next, by the way, in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to talk to a listener who had the opposite weekend of Kevin while watching the New England Patriots-Denver Broncos game. Imagine what it must be like for her to have put a bet down on the Broncos at the beginning of the season to win the Super Bowl and then have them get into the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But and that dream came to an end.
0-4, 0-5, 0-6. They had a horrible beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, until they got Mr. Tebow. Yeah. So we'll talk to her and find out how she's feeling, see if she'll ever trust Kevin with her money again. Coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we want to talk about Sunday night's 69th Annual Golden Globe Awards, which may still be on as far as I know. I turned off the TV at some point, but they may still be going on.
It's tough. I was supposed to bring in clips this time, so I watched the whole thing, and it really is, it's just an exercise in pain. I mean, it's just so long, and there's so many categories you don't care about, and there's so many people thanking so many people you don't know.
Well, that's my biggest beef with all award shows. And by the way, the Golden Globes have very few categories that I don't care about because they don't do makeup and art direction and all those BS ones that they do on the Oscars. I mean, at least, you know, they do screenplay and score, but other than that, it's all, you know, actors and series.
Yeah, they do miniseries.
Miniseries
is fine.
They have
75 categories for miniseries.
My biggest beef, though, is these people are professional entertainers and they get up and read a list of names for 2 minutes. One right after another. Nothing's more boring than that. Nothing.
The host was Ricky Gervais. He's a British comedian, the guy that came up with The Office originally, talking about the Golden Globes.
For any of you who don't know, the Golden Globes are just like the Oscars, but without all that esteem. Yeah. The Golden Globes are to the Oscars what Kim Kardashian is to Kate Middleton, basically. What? Bit louder, bit trashier, bit drunker, and more easily bought. Allegedly, nothing's been proved. But who needs the Oscars? Not me, and not Eddie Murphy. He walked out on them. He said no, and good for him. But when the man who said yes to Norbit says no to you, you know you're in trouble. I love Eddie Murphy. He loves dressing up, doesn't he? Versatile. He's versatile. No, he is. Bit of trivia for you, actually. Eddie Murphy and Adam Sandler, between them, played all the parts in the movie The Help. Isn't that brilliant? They were brilliant.
And then it went downhill from there. That was it.
Yeah, he had a couple of okay lines in the opening monologue, but... First of all, he did himself no favors by doing nothing but interviews leading up to the show about how the gloves were off and look out. And he, you know, gave us the impression he was going to come in there and he was going to be dangerous. But it was almost all low hanging fruit. I mean, when you go up there and you're making Justin Bieber paternity jokes or, you know, the whole thing about Madonna, ooh, like a virgin. Yeah, that's not even funny. And the woman's 53 years old or something like that. Doesn't even make any sense to be criticizing her for not being like a virgin anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, most of his stuff was just so obvious and so boring. And not only was it bad, there wasn't enough of them. So I'm going to say both of those things are true. Yeah. He did go away for like a half hour at a time, which was weird. It felt like a no-host show for a lot of the night.
It's been a big year for women in film. Bridesmaids, one of my favorite comedies of the year. Yeah. The girls finally proved that they can be as raunchy as the men. Farting, burping, cursing, performing wild sex acts, even pooping in the sink. I actually heard for a search the cast spent the weekend with Dame Helen Mirren. She's dreadful. Honestly, you don't see a lot of it because she's got good PR, but she's off the rails.
She was at least laughing when he was talking about her like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me the high point for you was not our friend Seth Rogen.
It was the line of the night.
For me, that was...
It woke me right up.
That was the line of the night.
Please welcome the star of the upcoming film Underworld, Kate Beckinsale, and the producer and co-star of 50-50, Seth Rogen.
Hello, I'm Seth Rogen, and I am currently trying to conceal a massive erection.
Nice.
In this next category, we have four women who have been.
They go on, they start talking,
before.
And then she keeps laughing through the whole thing. She can't, like.
And one newcomer.
She can't get through it.
Here are the nominees for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Comedy or Musical.
Yeah.
That was one of the few genuine laughs, though, where you actually sensed that the audience was having a good time. Because Ralph mentioned earlier, you know, every time they showed Elton John, and he was one of a number of celebrities that they kept panning to in the audience, who just looked like he was in the dentist waiting room, waiting for a root canal. I mean, nobody looked like they were having a good time. They need to let him in the room earlier and get him to start drinking earlier or something. Liven that place up.
This is the show where they drink.
Right.
Where they can drink alcohol. So you would think that they would be. But Elton John had a stick up his ass or something. I mean, in the straight way. I mean, he was upset. He was really just sitting there. And
well, he lost the Golden Globe to Madonna. I mean, I'd be upset too.
Madonna's accepted speech was just so narcissistic and just crazy bad. It hurts me. But the low point of the night for me was the Morgan Freeman tribute and Sidney Poitier. Did I say his name right? Sidney Poitier. He doesn't talk fast.
Now, he is a living legend. People should know. He was an enormous movie star in the 60s and 70s. He's an Oscar winner. He's a Gold Globe Lifetime Achievement winner. So he was there to bring out Morgan. He and Helen Mirren teamed up to bring out Morgan Freeman to give him his Lifetime Achievement Award. But, yeah, he's older now, and he's slowed down a little bit. And, yeah, he is not exciting on stage per se.
Morgan Freeman.
All right, you screwed with that.
How dare you?
That you illuminate your presence. That you
play parts well.
Infuse the characters you play.
I thought he was going to die on stage.
I did too.
Very
with
worried.
A real.
I thought he did die.
Live, three dimensional.
And then he just slumped over.
Oh, all right. You become.
Honestly, yes, I screwed with it. Not very much.
Not much. No, it was slow.
Holy cow, that guy can't talk.
And it's so uncomfortable when you're sitting there because you go, he's a perfect choice to bring out to do this. But it's death watching
the
it.
The character.
Oh, this is great.
The character.
Huh?
Becomes you.
Yes.
All right, come on up and accept your award. Congratulations.
And so begins a process that captivates.
I checked this morning. He was still talking.
I'm not surprised.
Your audience.
All right, we're out of time. I'm sorry. That's all the time we have for Sydney.
Even the likes.
Okay, all right.
Of Spencer Tracy.
All right. We need to take a break. We're going to come back in a second.
Laurence Olivier, Marlon Brando.
All right. Enough out of you.
And.
And who?
Canada Lee.
Don't. All season long, we have been following Kevin, who went to Las Vegas with a listener's money to put down on the Broncos to win the Super Bowl, then promptly lost the ticket when he got back.
Yeah, it was mugs, and I gave him money to put it on Arizona, which I do every year. Bet on the team. It's usually long, long, long odds, 60-1 mm-hmm. this year. And so this listener said, hey, would you put it on Denver as well? Same odds, 60-1, $20. I said, fine. So I got the ticket and then promptly lost both of them.
And by the way, you could argue, hey, you're throwing your money away. You're never going to win. But you could also go, yeah, but it's only $20.
Right.
And the payoff is $1,200 if it's 60-1. And they do win. So
and
it's
by the way, I made the exact same bet when Arizona was in the Super Bowl and lost. So I didn't win that bet, but that's pretty close.
Could have paid it off. Right. Yeah. So all season long, we've been laughing about the improbable rise of the Denver Broncos, thanks to Tim Tebow, and how they backed into the playoffs. And then they unbelievably won that first playoff game against Pittsburgh that nobody thought they would win. And then here they were, just a couple of wins away from the Super Bowl, heading into New England to play the Patriots on Saturday. Of course, it didn't work out that well for Broncos fans. But Charmaine is the young lady who Kevin has been trying to dodge all season long. It was her $20 that bought that ticket in Las Vegas, and she joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Charmaine.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy today.
Hi, Kevin.
You can't imagine how happy I am.
I'm
sure you
I was
are.
Trying to explain to my wife. Yeah, it was just, it was a thing. It wasn't as bad as being bidding $7,000 on that charity. But it was like, yeah, I said I would put money on the Broncos, and then I got the ticket, and then I lost it. And she's like, well, how much will we have to pay? And I said, $1,200. She said, what?
I know. It is hard to break that news. Charmaine, tell me about you. Lifelong Broncos fan, or what's the deal?
Yes, I was born in Colorado, and my family's still there, so it just, you know, it was a tradition to be a Bronco fan.
I got to tell you, this is the first time in my life I've ever rooted for, and the last time I've ever rooted for New England.
You should have you rooted for the Broncos.
Nah, yeah, so I could pay you?
Yes.
Yes, no.
What made you think of trying to piggyback onto Kevin's, Kevin sending beer mug to Las Vegas to get his ticket? What made you even think to call and ask him to do that?
Well, usually I pick up a ticket on my own, and I just hadn't. Then I heard him on the radio, and I said, well, I'll just take a shot, and ask him to do it. Either he'll say yes or no, and he said yes.
Nice. All right, so the first few games of the season, pre-Tebow, BT, you must have just been thinking, oh my God, another horrible Broncos season, because they've had a lot of losing years in a row, right?
They have, but, I go in every year just believing.
Well, it was sweet, though, at the beginning, because there was a point where I think you, Charmaine, and me, and let's face it, everyone in the world wrote off the Denver Broncos as far as playoffs, let alone going as far as they went. I mean, they had a horrible start. And then all of a sudden, Tebow comes in. He starts winning and winning. I'm like, what's going on?
It just made it great listening and, Kevin getting a little more worried each week. It was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I can't believe they made the playoffs. And they made the playoffs sucking, too, those last few games. I remember they just had it was one of those deals where they lost their last game of the season, which they needed to win and should have won. And then somebody else had to lose for them to even get into the playoffs. And then I think that's when Kevin started to get worried because, all the talk about Jesus helping out the team because of Tebow and everything. I think he started to think, uh-oh, what's happening now? Why are they in the playoffs? This was supposed to be over by now.
Well, the Patriots were 14-3 or 13-3. I don't know, going into the game. And then, of course, the Broncos were 9-8 or something like that. They had like a .500 record. So it didn't make any sense. And by 3 minutes in, it was over. Let's be honest.
Right.
What went so horribly wrong for Denver besides everything on this weekend?
The Patriots just played a better game. I think they're still scoring, in fact.
They are. I think the Patriots are that good. And I hate the Patriots. I hate Bill Belichick.
I hate Brady, so.
But I was so rooting for him because I so did not want to pay you all that money.
But you know what's weird about football is I felt the same way about the Packers. I didn't think there was, even though the Giants are a good team and a much better team than the Broncos, I thought there was no way the Packers were going to lose to New York this weekend. I mean, they were 15-1, for God's sakes.
Yeah, same here.
I was like, there's no way the Packers can't win this game. And it just, they just seemed lackluster. They just seemed like they just couldn't get anything going. I mean, that's the great thing about sports is, you really can't predict what is going to happen.
That's right, you never know.
I'm so sad that your Broncos are out.
There you are.
Oh, I was rooting for you all the way.
Let me ask you this one question, Charmaine. Is Tebow going to work hard and come back and be great next year, or do you think he got lucky, it was a fluke, and this is probably the best we'll ever see him, and he's going to end up being a footnote in NFL history?
No, I think he's going to come back and do pretty good next year.
You're asking a hardcore Broncos fan. What do you think she's going to say?
I don't know. I thought she might,
Their wins weren't pretty this year, but I think, he just needs some more time, and we'll see what he does next season.
He should practice throwing, first of all.
He should definitely. That's one thing not in his arsenal right now, is throwing the ball.
They should put the football in his hand and have him toss it to someone else once.
I am just so happy, Charmaine, as we say goodbye, and thank you for coming on. I am just so happy that you never let up on Kevin. I'm so happy that
she
you were there emailing him every week.
Friday, every Monday, I get an email from her like, come on!
Keep the pressure on, and listen, when you need that bet placed in Vegas next season, I think you know who to call.
Never happen again. Thank you, Charmaine.
Thanks.
Bye now.
It's kind of weird all of a sudden to see these stories about your name hitting the news.
Well, I've noticed in the last year or so that every character on TV and in movies and everywhere you look, if the name is Kevin, it's an idiot. I mean, Kevin on The Office, it just goes right down the line. He's always, remember.
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
Well, do you ever think about this? A lot of people who are writing TV shows and movies live in Southern California.
How dare you?
It's possible they're driving to work and they're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and they're thinking, oh, that's what the Kevin is all about. That's a great name. I could use that.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Right? Exactly.
That's from The Office, too, and it's when he was a complete failure.
And then there's that movie out with Tilda Swinton or David Bowie, one of them, I can't tell which. We've got to talk about Kevin or whatever that's called.
And he's a murderer.
He's a bad Kevin.
Come on! Listen
to this, though. This is fascinating. Two stories out of Germany right now. One is Humboldt University in Germany sent out email messages, dating website email messages with just names, ages, and zip codes, no photos, to 47,000 online dating members. They wanted to find out if certain names are more likely to be clicked on with the same information than others. Dead last, the name was Kevin.
What's
Kevin
up with
is the fewest number of people. People would rather be alone than meet up with somebody named Kevin. And by the way, the name on the girl's side is Chantel, is the equally unpopular girl's name.
But
right
wait,
now.
There's no photo that went with that?
That's right.
So it's just the name.
If your name is Alexander, you will be clicked on 102% more times than if you're Kevin. All right, that's
come
thing
on
one.
Now.
Thing two goes even further, and this is also from Germany. This is from the University of Dusseldorf. This quote is in the article. Kevin is not a name. It's a diagnosis.
Of what?
This is a story about teachers who determine based on the kids' names how likely they are to be smart. Kevin, once again, ladies and gentlemen, dead last in that category also.
First of all, then, I'm nailing it. Right? I mean, I'm right on.
That's right.
But second of all, what a disappointment. I thought my name was just... I have a lot of things to worry about and be embarrassed about, of course. But I always thought Kevin was just like Bill, Jim, just a boring, average name.
The name
I didn't
Kevin
realize it was the worst.
The name Kevin was perceived as being linked to especially poor behavior and performance.
Wow.
So we wanted to find out more about this story. We asked producer Dave if he could line us up with somebody at the University of Dusseldorf. And sure enough, Klaus Kaiser joins us on the show right now. Hi, Mr. Kaiser. Thank you for joining us.
Guten Tag, Kevin and Bean. Hi.
Well, I've been better, to be honest, because my name's Kevin. What does that mean?
Kevin, what a horrible name that is.
It didn't seem to me my entire life like it was bad.
You were doomed the day your parents gave you the name Kevin!
I didn't realize that.
Doomed!
Okay, well, yell at me.
I noticed that there's never been a pope named Kevin. There's never been a president named Kevin or a king named Kevin.
Right,
I guess
take it easy.
They avoid all of those, I guess.
Kevin is a death sentence for life.
Why is it... Why isn't it just average, unnoticeable?
Because it is Kevin.
What does your study say, Ben?
That is a diagnosis. That isn't a name.
That's a funny joke. But what
it's
is it?
It's not a joke. You are doomed to a life of poor behavior and performance.
He's really upset by talking to us.
Yeah, take it easy.
They did a study in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Of the names that most people would be prejudiced against because of the name.
Okay.
And Kevin was number one.
How can I be? How can I be last on the dating pool? And
this was based on teachers and their prejudice against children in their classrooms.
Mm-hmm. So all Kevins are
and
nightmares.
These teachers, when they were teaching Kevins, could not make them learn anything!
Would you be surprised, Professor, to know that this Kevin that you were talking to graduated from college?
An American college, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's
it. What are you talking about?
In Germany, you would be a street cleaner! Where you belong!
Oh, this is getting ugly
the
now.
The best names in Germany were traditional German names.
Right, like?
Dieter, like Klaus Leopold, Bruno, Maximilian, Reinhard, Rudolf, Siegfried, Johann, Jürgen, Gerhard,
sure.
Ulf, Heinrich.
Those are good names. Uh-huh. Those are good names.
Wendell, Adolf. Now
what?
That's
what?
A name.
Whoa.
Adolf.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hold it right there.
Oh, Adolf.
Wait, you're saying...
Oh, Deutschland, Deutschland.
How can Kevin be more toxic than Adolf at this point? Come on. That doesn't even make any sense to me, Professor.
At least Adolf could get things done.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note,
I never heard Adolf say, oh, I'm a long-time fan, Nazi Germany. Never heard him say that.
All right. Great.
He could use a sentence.
Thank you for talking to me.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Sue writes in, listening to us from Maryland today. Hey, guys, in Kevin's defense about the name, the smart kid in Home Alone was named Kevin. He gave his parents a bad time, but he was smart, so we do have to give it up for him. But generally, I think you're right. I think Kevins are not well represented for your...
How dare you.
It's when they grow up, side. They become douchebags. Apparently, kid Kevins are probably good.
But I wasn't much adult Kevins. I wasn't a very good kid.
No?
No.
Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, Ralph?
A couple programming notes if you're a television fan. Big, big season premieres tonight. Justified over there on FX.
Give me the one I want.
White Collar on USA Network. Another great, great series is returning.
Love it.
But most importantly, Southland returns to TNT tonight.
That is
after
a great
what
show.
Seems like has been years since I've seen a new Southland, but finally returning tonight, and I can't wait. I love that show so much. One of the top three cop shows ever. And wow. One of the best shows on television, but certainly one of the best, top three, I think, cop shows.
Now, Ralph, I didn't see, this is the second season we're going into, or third?
Third,
I think, yeah.
I've never seen Southland. If I start watching tonight, is it the type of show that I can get into from the beginning, or do I have to have seen previously?
I think you can totally get into it.
Yes.
But we don't want you watching.
Yeah. You don't deserve to watch it. Your eyes do not deserve to get the glory that is Southland.
So, in answer to your question, for everybody else, they could just jump right in. It would be fantastic. For you, unacceptable.
There's some pretty dense backstory. It would help if you had seen the seasons before, but I believe we're sort of kicking off a new chapter tonight with this season. So
I'd like to check it out. I mean, I've heard great things.
But you're not going to, so.
It's really excellent, excellent show. I think it started on NBC.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And then they stupidly canceled it. NBC just having a hard time over there at NBC.
Yeah. Hey, they let Friday Night Lights go, remember? Well, talk about one of the greatest shows in television
history.
They made some
good choices and then some bad choices. And then TNT picked it up, and now they're just going great guns with it, and they're doing a great hell of a job. So looking forward to seeing that tonight. NBC was also the network that showed the Golden Globe Awards, by the way.
Yes.
And Ricky Gervais said it's the third biggest I'm sorry, I just heard fourth biggest network ever. Having some struggles. I can't get over the Golden Globes. I heard you guys talking about it, and I just kept mulling it over my mind. It was just hideous. It was a hideous show.
Yeah.
It was awful. Awful show. Even by award show standards, it was awful.
I agree. It was so boring. There was nothing entertaining going on for all 3 hours. I mean, I give Ricky Gervais credit for a few lines, but in general, I thought he was extremely disappointing.
Yes, it was his worst outing I've ever seen him have, and I think the guy's a genius.
But he was by far the best part of that show.
No. The best part of the show was Seth Rogen and his erection joke.
Yeah.
And George Clooney talking about how Michael Fassbender could play golf just with his penis.
That was true.
It was a great moment.
If you can do that, more power to you.
But... But then I was blown away by the awards themselves.
Yes, me too.
I mean, especially the television. These foreign critics seem to get the movie thing down. And you can always argue, but they seem to make some reasonable choices. I haven't seen The Descendants yet, but I've heard great things about it. I can see why Clooney won the award for that, why it won for Best Drama. But in television, it was just nuts. We talked about Kelsey Grammer winning for Boss.
Yeah.
Over Steve Buscemi in Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Damian Lewis for Homeland.
Yes.
And Jeremy Irons for Borges.
How crazy is that?
It's crazy. And then in comedy, we didn't even talk about this. Matt LeBlanc won for Best Actor in a Comedy.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
That happened.
Playing himself in a little scene and just marginal show called Episodes. Over Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Dave Duchovny in Californication, Johnny Galecki in Big Bang Theory, Thomas Jane in Hung, which doesn't even belong in there. But forget about the fact that no one from Modern Family nominated.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Madness. Matt LeBlanc. Matt LeBlanc, by the way. Did I mention Matt LeBlanc
one?
Yeah,
that's odd.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the group.
Honked up is what I'm saying.
This is the group, if I'm not mistaken, that has the reputation of being bought. Like if you
absolutely
if you wine and dine,
wine and dine them, and make sure that
I don't think there's any exchanging cash for envelopes full of cash in back alleys.
I don't know.
They do like to be treated well.
That's correct. So like Kelsey Grammer, for example, if he put on a full court press with them, that would go a long way in this show more than.
Oh, for God's sake, just give me an award. What he said to them.
And I know we mention this every year, but it's worth repeating again. Don't put any stock in the Golden Globes because A, they're foreigners, so their opinion doesn't really matter.
Right.
B, they're less than 90 of them, I guess. And it's really more about who they want to meet and hang out with than it is who they think is doing good work.
That's why Madonna got an award. They wanted to meet Madonna. I'm sure of it. All right. I feel better now. I've purged.
Good.
Now let's get on with some of the showbiz stories that are important, like the fact that Tila Tequila is converting to Judaism. What? She wants everyone to know. She got a press release.
She put out a press release.
Yes. She's converting to Judaism. Tila Tequila is. She will now be known as Tila Manischewitz.
I don't think that's true.
Instead of tequila.
I don't believe
See, Kevin, because Manischewitz is a kosher wine.
Right.
It's an alcohol.
Right. I get that.
Kinds of alcohol.
I get that.
One is tequila would be, you know.
It's the non-Jewish.
Is it true that you're anti-Semitic?
Blue Ivy Carver. The youngest person ever to have a hit single on the top 100, by the way.
What's she up to now? Is she doing a movie yet?
Yeah, she's starring in the reboot of Police Academy. She will play Steve Guttenberg's character in the new Police Academy films. She has another honor. Apparently, California pot dispensaries all over the state have a new strain called Blue Ivy that you can buy now if you go into the cannabis stores. You could pick yourself up some Blue Ivy that was named in her honor.
Okay.
No one's asked the dealers to stop selling that, by the way. So apparently Jay-Z's on board. That's what I'm thinking.
Sure.
Maybe he named her after the pot. Who knows? We don't know. And there's a real-life storage war going on in Hollywood. Apparently Jeff Conaway, you know, of course, from Grease and Taxi, was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got a storage container. Storage
I thought
space.
He died.
Yeah. And all of his belongings are in storage.
Right. Oh, interesting. Okay.
And now the rent hasn't been paid on that facility. So now it's going into arrears.
Right.
There's a lien against it. So they're going to auction it off. But his wife and his girlfriend are both battling over it because they want what's inside the facility.
Does anyone know what's in there?
No.
Because I can't imagine there's anything.
It's
going to
be good stuff, I bet.
It's going to be trash.
No, there'll be drugs in there.
Dude, if he was a drug addict, if he had anything of value, he would have sold it.
Right. His T-Bird's jacket from Greece probably is in there.
So,
I'm going to make a ton of money.
Yep.
I think sentimental value for the ladies in his life is all that's worth being in there, I think.
Well, they're both battling over it, his wife and his girlfriend, Vicky. Remember Vicky, the crazy one?
Yeah.
She wants what's in there, too. So,
interesting.
Dr. Drew, by the way, has a new TV show. He just got a new TV show.
Thank God.
Talking about?
He's got a new TV show.
What new TV show?
It's called Rehab with Dr. Drew. It's celebrity-free. It's just regular people in his rehab.
Okay.
This according to Radar Online, and so he will be detoxing and helping patients at the Pasadena Recovery Center yet again, but this time it's going to be celebrity-free. It's going to be real people getting real help.
Right.
He can add to his slate of programs, which includes, of course, Loveline and his talk show on HLN and Life Changers and Judge Drudy, of course,
his
midday legal show.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Drew Changes Your Oil, his automotive show. Have you ever seen that over there on the Gear Network?
He does
good work over there. Top Drew, which is his cooking network show where he's today's special ingredient, Drew? Liver!
He's very good at that.
And he makes special dinners for people.
So, how dare you?
Yeah. Got a lot going on. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Sophie D. She does adult entertainment.
Yep.
She is 28 years old today. Singer Ray J., probably best known for being the co-star of that Kim Kardashian film we all know and love.
I don't know if you've seen that sex tape, but I want a lot less of him.
He
blocks the camera from her 95% of the time.
Yeah,
get the F out of the way.
Zooey Deschanel is 32 years old. She didn't win the Golden Globe, by the way.
She should have.
Kid Rock is 41. DJ Tiesto is 43, as is Naveen Andrews of Lost, who played Saeed on that show. Michelle Obama, our first lady, is 48 years old. Jim Carrey turns 50. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals.
All right, Bengals.
She's 53 years old. Former heavyweight champion of the world, Muhammad Ali, celebrates his 70th birthday today. Maury Povich is 73. James Earl Jones is 81. And actress Betty White celebrates her 90th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. We announced destination number 3. We have the K-Rock World Tour 2012, which is Blink 182 in Berlin, Germany. How about that? Listen all week, 9 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock to score a Blink 182 CD catalog and get on the standby boarding list. Details at krock.com.
What are CDs? Those little hard drives that people used to put music on?
I don't know. I don't recognize the word.
That's weird. Blank in Germany, though. Pretty good deal. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. America's greatest magazine. Ladies and gentlemen, out with a new issue, the February issue of Maxim Magazine. On newsstands, Editor-in-Chief Dan Bova joins us once again here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy New Year to you, Dan.
Happy New Year. What's up, guys?
Well, I see that you did the right thing and finally got Katrina Bowden, or is it Bowden, from 30 Rock, who's unbelievably hot and not on that show enough, and you finally got her on the cover of your magazine. Now, I get the impression that this is one you've been looking for a long time.
We've been T-Bowing for years, praying that this would happen, and yeah. It finally happened. We were super excited that Katrina posed for the cameras, and everyone who's seen it so far has been super excited to see her pose for
yeah.
the cameras. So we're thrilled.
I also like that you didn't put too few photos of her in.
No.
There are a lot of photos of her. You turn the page, you go, hey, there's another one. You turn the page, hey, there's another one. This is fantastic.
That's right. I mean, we did have some pictures of me running the Tough Mudder contest a couple of pages later, but we thought, muddy pictures of me or more pictures of Katrina?
Yeah, good choice.
What should we show?
By the way, she kind of gets lost in the shuffle over there at 30 Rock because it's so personality strong with Alec Baldwin, Tracy Morgan, Tina Fey. I don't think that they give her enough to do, but whenever she's on the show, you are reminded how spectacularly beautiful she is. So well done, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And Tina Fey, if you're listening,
more
Katrina.
Right. That's what we're saying. She's this hot. For God's sakes, put her on your TV show.
You also interviewed another favorite of the Kevin and Bean Show, a guy we always love having on, and that is Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down. Isn't he just one of the genuinely most fun guys in the world to hang out with?
He really is. I mean, that story, that interview could have run 37 pages. Like, everything that comes out of that guy's mouth is hilarious, as you guys know. And he's also just a really nice guy, too. You know, when you talk to him for the first time, you're wondering, am I going to get the Eastbound and Down guy or
right.
what? And you sort of get a little bit of that, but he's just, like, the funniest human being I've ever spoken to.
I know you talk about it a little bit in the piece, but, I mean, it is hilarious. This Eastbound and Down show has created such a cult following, and it's no joke to say that there are lots of people out there with Kenny Powers quotes and tattoos on their body. I mean, it's crazy how many people have kind of embraced this character as being somebody they look up to.
It is. And I have to warn people, you know, if like me, you know, you watch a marathon of those episodes, that voice gets in your head. And
yeah.
It's not the most welcome voice, like, in your home when you're talking to your wife. So I would just keep that in check.
Caution against overuse.
Yes, exactly.
You also have Fred Armisen, who we just talked to on this program about his show Portlandia, and you gave him some money to spend. That guy is also one of those guys that's genuinely nice and funny, and is just
He we had a lot of fun with him. We gave him, as we often do, we give celebrities $848 because hey, they can use the money, right?
Right. Sure.
Sure.
And we tag along with them to see what they're going to spend it on, and Fred predictably spent it on incredibly quirky things like a stuffed owl. So so that was an interesting one. But yeah, again, he's one of those guys that just everything that comes out of his mouth makes you crack up and you feel like
we're talking to Dan Bova on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the editor in chief of Maxim Magazine, talking about the current issue: women who want to use you for sex and where to meet them.
Yeah,
I haven't seen this article yet, but please tell me and tell me specifically right now.
Okay.
Craigslist.
Well, we give you some tips to read between the lines of some online profiles of women. Turns out guys aren't the only ones who just want to hook up every now and then. And we've got some women sort of giving you the clues in their online profiles that say, hey, you know, I'm not, you don't have to pay me for this, but I am looking for I'm in town, I'm bored, and I'm looking for some love.
Give us one of those clues, if you don't mind. just one of the clues.
Well, one of the things that they always say is that, again, you know, they're traveling in town, my boyfriend's not with me, looking for something fun to do. You gotta sort of read between the lines. They're not necessarily looking to go see a Broadway show, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yes. When you see something fun to do, that is broad enough that they can't get arrested for soliciting, but it's specific
right.
enough that you know that, hey, if I play my cards right, somebody's getting laid tonight.
Right, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And hopefully it's one of your listeners after they read this article.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and finally, is everything better with a monkey? Kevin, my partner here on the Kevin and Bean Show, for years has been tempted to get a monkey as a pet. But thank God his wife talked about it. What's your advice on this, having done the investigation?
Well, we've done the investigation, and we would say if you are going to have a monkey as a pet, you should invest in some poo-proof wallpaper.
Yeah.
They do like to fling the stuff, but they are just so, so cute.
They're the
best.
They'll
open things for you.
They're the best. They'll open things for you.
I guess we haven't finished the investigation. This is ongoing.
All right.
It's so funny to hear you say they can open stuff to you, because that's how the Planet of the Apes thing happens, is we start enslaving them. We start getting them to do our chores, and then the next thing you know, they get all uppity and they fight back, and then it's bad news for everybody.
Is this Dan just angling in to get a spot in the world when the apes take over? Is this what he's doing? Oh, let me write some nice articles about monkeys.
I wouldn't That's be right. surprised.
I'm you can not one to tweet for me, but you know they have the problem with the thumbs.
Sure,
so. Right. You can follow Dan Bova on Twitter, and you should at DanBova1. Website maxim.com. February issue on newsstands now. Editor in chief Dan Bova, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Man, have a great month. We'll talk to you next time.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Anthony can still use the cowbell, though, right?
He just can't
jump off the drums anymore, the riser, whatever he was jumping off of to hurt his foot, right?
Yep.
Okay, good.
That he can do.
Incubus on the way, also Sublime with Rome on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we've got the Black Keys coming up here. Here's a story that broke at the end of last week that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. This news report kind of sums it up, and man, you talk about a complicated and complex issue. Listen to this, and then prepare to tell us what you think.
The video appeared on several websites Wednesday and shows what appear to be four Marines standing over the bodies of three Afghan males, presumably Taliban fighters. They look around before urinating on the bodies. One of the men chuckles and can be heard in a mocking tone saying, "Have a great day, buddy." The Marine Corps responded quickly after the video appeared online and said they would launch a full investigation. Even though they had not verified the origin or the authenticity of the video, a Marine statement said, "The actions portrayed are not consistent with our core values and are not indicative of the character of the Marines in our Corps." The Council on American-Islamic Relations has condemned the video as disturbing and says it could endanger the lives of other American soldiers and civilians serving in Afghanistan.
Okay, so...
So that happened.
Kill the guy. Okay to kill the guy. That's what you're there for. Not okay then to pee on him, apparently, is the deal, right?
That's correct, yeah.
This is a tough one. I mean, I can't even imagine being in their shoes. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who's coming out and saying it's a good thing or it's ideal or we're glad this video exists or this is how we want to represent to the world. I don't think anybody's saying that. But there sure are a lot of people who are saying, what do you expect? Can you... These are human beings in this situation. Don't criticize until you've been there and know what that must feel like if it's you versus that guy and you win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To me, that's the complicated factor, is that the people that you send over there have to pull a trigger and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're not going to get some behavior like this every once in a while. My only thing is don't get caught on video. Okay? People, come on.
Do it, but don't get caught. That's
correct.
What you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you know, it's so complicated because I can totally see how something like this would happen. Yet on the other hand, it's not something you want to happen. Yet on the other hand, you've got human beings that are out there carrying out the job. So it's going to happen. I mean, the Marines say they're launching an investigation to do what? I mean, are these guys going to get punished? Is that what's next likely to happen? And if so, what's appropriate in a situation like this? Hey, don't do it. Don't videotape it. What?
I don't know.
I mean, the thing that's ridiculous is...
Hey, Bear Mug, welcome to the conversation.
Hey, you're welcome.
Hey, just jump in whenever you feel like it, Mugs.
The thing that's ridiculous...
He's tired of us not going to him.
The thing that's ridiculous is the people that are acting surprised about this. I mean, I had a guy, a buddy of mine, he worked on Cobras in Iraq. He was a Marine, and he was stabbed, shot at, and, he was also sniped at by a 10-year-old. So when you come home and you wake up and you're in the middle of the night strangling your wife, not knowing what's going on, people are acting surprised. Oh, these guys are going to do this? Like, it's not right. But you got other guys beheading American soldiers on TV. You know, like, where's the outrage there?
Well, there's usually outrage there.
I think there's plenty of outrage there, yeah. I don't think there's been lack of outrage for people getting beheaded by the other side.
That's a great question,
though. That's the problem here. No, I mean, I totally get why this happens. I don't know what to do about it, if anything. I mean, look. Like I said, this isn't how I don't think this is most Marines. I don't think, but I also don't think this is how anyone wants Marines represented around the world. I mean, we are better than that. We don't do the things that the other side does to us because we're Americans, right?
Yes. Yeah, for the most part. But I mean, no one's perfect, right? And so you got these things that come along every once in a while. And you go, well, I sure wish that wouldn't happen. But I don't know. It's hard for me to get too unbelievably angry about it. I mean, it's not like it was citizens. It's not like it was kids. You know what I mean? It sounds like it's guys in battle.
Right.
So, I don't know. Let's go to Frank and see what he has to say. Hi, Frank.
Hey, buddy.
You're a Marine?
I am.
And what do you think about this?
Well, you know, I served a lot of time with some young brave Marines, gentlemen. And unfortunately, in combat, people do things that aren't normal.
Right.
But the enemy does a lot worse to our soldiers and Marines than we'll ever do to them.
Yeah.
So now, when you guys look at it that way, you have to look at that, too.
But do you, though? Is that even a factor? Do we care what they do to us, or do we have our own standards that we live by as Americans?
Of course we do, but you have to remember that you're dealing with young men with hearts and minds, too. And when they see their buddy hacked up or decapitated and brutally abused, mm-hmm. don't you think you're going to have to revenge that a little bit? Because you are a United States Marine.
Listen, I know.
Whether it's right or wrong, and whether it's American, it's war.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's war.
Listen, we've never been there, and I can only imagine I would feel the exact same way as they did. But don't get caught, right?
I 100% understand where you're coming from. I get that frustration. I get what that must feel. I mean, I get a sense of what that must feel like in the moment, hand-to-hand combat in some cases, and you win. I mean, that has got to be the most stressful and euphoric thing going on at the same time. But, I mean, how about these guys, though, getting videotaped peeing? I mean, you probably wish that didn't happen too, right?
They're dumb. They're dumb. We used to call them dumb fun, or I'm not
careful.
Gonna say it, but
yeah, careful. We know what you mean.
Yeah.
What the problem is they're just caught up in the moment. You know, they're not thinking clearly. So
as a Marine, you don't like to see that either, although you understand where it comes from.
That's not honor to the Corps. Well, Marines are not like that. We do not disrespect our enemy.
Right.
We do not torture our enemy. We bring our enemy to the proper people, and we turn them over, and we make sure they get their medical attention also. But the enemy doesn't do that for us.
I mean, you guys need to know that. We hear you.
Americans do tend to abide by the Geneva Convention, and this is exactly the type of behavior that you're talking about, more than other countries do against us, that's for sure. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Frank. I'm glad you called. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it. All right. I'd like to hear from other people who are in the Corps, as well as you, if you have an opinion on this, at 1-800-520-1067. What should happen to these guys, too, is the next thing, by the way. I mean, what would you do if you were their supervisors? I mean, how would you handle something like this, as understandable as it is that this happened? What would you do?
You're not asking me if I was in charge of them.
Because it would just be a high five?
Don't get caught, you idiot. Look, we've all had the experience. Sometimes you just have to go. Right? I mean,
wait, your defense of peeing on the dead Taliban is that sometimes you got
to
pee?
Well, are they supposed to look for a public toilet someplace? Are they supposed to look for a park that has a toilet? No.
Well, I think some are suggesting, Kevin, that you've already killed them. Your statement has been made.
Maybe you've been holding it because you've been fighting for so long.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, talking about this video that came out late last week of the Marines urinating on the dead Taliban soldiers that they had just killed. We want to know what you think about it. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Andrew Siciliano in minutes also talking about that unbelievable Saints 49ers game over the weekend and that very believable Patriots Broncos game. Plus, what's up with the Lakers? All of that coming up. But first, let's talk to AJ. He's got some thoughts on our friends, the Marines, who have all been identified right now. An investigation is ongoing. We don't know yet what is going to happen to them. But AJ, what do you think?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
How you doing?
By the way, you can't make that sound work. Never do it again.
I never will.
All right.
I would just like to say that I think those guys just pretty much carrying out what a lot of us were thinking. Mm-hmm. Given the same situation, probably do the same thing.
I know I would.
I think they should be awarded the Yellow Medal of
So you think that ought to be U.S. military standard operating procedure is once you kill a guy, run right over and pee at his head.
The Yellow Medal of Honor. I like it. That's the best idea ever.
Let me ask you this, AJ. Look, I don't... I totally get where you're coming from. I 100% understand what was going through these young men's minds. I really do. Do you think that it reflects poorly to the rest of the world on what we as Americans and what the American military are all about, though?
I think anything that's going on right now around the world is reflecting poorly on everybody. It's going to take too much to straighten everything out. And
this doesn't really hurt the situation.
Can we look any worse in anybody's eyes at the moment? I don't know.
I think there's a lot. I don't think that's true at all. I mean, I think it's a much bigger discussion than we're going to have right now. But I mean, a lot of people think the United States made a huge difference in Iraq and got out of there and left the country in far better shape than it was when they arrived. I mean, I don't think the country looks bad at all.
I'm not sure the peeing thing helps, though.
I don't think the peeing thing helps either. I disagree with our caller.
Right.
All right. Let's talk to Robbie. Robbie is a former Marine. Of course, there's no such thing as a former Marine, right, Robbie? You're a Marine for life.
Well, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. There's such thing as a former Marine.
Ah, I gotcha.
Exactly, gotcha. My mistake. All right, what's going on, dude? What do you think? Well, when you saw this, you could put yourself in their position. What did you think about it?
Like you guys are saying, it's almost a justified reaction. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that's done every day across the country. It's not the right thing to do, but it's part of what's going on over there. But you don't film it, dude. You don't film it. Because, like you're saying, that just makes us look worse to the rest of the world.
So you're with me. You're do it, but don't film it.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're going to do it, I wouldn't do it. But if you're going to do it, don't film it.
Don't be an idiot.
I would be willing to bet. Tell me if you think this is correct or not, Robbie, that is the overwhelming opinion in the American public right now is go ahead and do it. Go ahead and pee on those son of a bitches, but don't get caught. I mean, is that what most people feel?
There's a lot of stuff that goes down in everybody's lives that you shouldn't film. Let's be honest.
Thank you for the call, sir. Thank you for your service, too. Let's try Tyree. Tyree is on line 5, also a man in uniform. Hey, Tyree, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I think that pretty much I did commercials for the Army when I was in active duty. Now I'm in the reserves, and I've had people talk to me, and they're like, you know what? They understand, but, you know, just don't film it. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've been to Iraq and with some real with some really good friends of mine, and we've been through some real crazy stuff, but at the same time, we do crazy stuff, but even if you do film it, don't put it on the internet and let the whole world see. It just makes us all look really bad.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the soldiers who are going to go through whatever.
What do you think will happen to them?
Really? I'm not sure. I mean, they're not going to get kicked out, definitely. Not in my opinion, anyway.
Will they get a yellow medal of honor?
That is the corniest thing I heard in my life.
All right, just saying. Just asking.
Thank you for the call, Tyree. We appreciate it. Don writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, absolutely outrageous, especially considering the careful consideration that they have shown our troops. You know, the beheadings, the disembowelings, the dragging behind vehicles. Should these Marines receive some sort of disciplinary action? Maybe. But am I upset? Not one tiny bit. All right. Do we want to do one more? We're out of time.
We can do one more.
All right. Let's try Noel. Let's get a different perspective here. Noel has a son in the Marines. Noel, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, my son is a Marine. And, you know, in normal situations, I would be deplored. But I would be just ashamed by that behavior under normal situations. But that is not a normal situation. And for all we know, these guys probably had friends blown up by these insurgents, and I think they deserved, at the very least, to get peed on.
Do you think... look, I'm not disagreeing with you, but just let me...
Hold on. At the very least...
let me ask this devil's advocate question, though. Don't you think killing them is the revenge, though? Isn't that the statement? Is, hey, I just killed you? Is it necessary to then pee on top of that?
Under a normal situation, no. But this is war, and it's not a normal situation. And these guys are highly stressed. I know my son saw many of his friends blown up. He himself was blown up.
And these guys have to also be afraid of what will happen if they get killed and or caught.
Exactly. Our guys are worried that they're going to be beheaded. I mean, you know, I'm thinking that if one of our soldiers were to get caught or, you know, something, it was like, oh, just pee on me. That would be fabulous.
That would be fabulous.
You know, it's so weird. There are places in Hollywood where you can pay to get peed on. It's just a totally different experience over there in Iraq. I guess.
Exactly.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you very much for the call, too. Best to your son as well. So I think it's at least unanimous among the few calls we took on the Kevin and Bean Show, which is USA, USA.
That's correct. 106.7 K-Rock is KR2, and it is 7:54.
Where's the outrage?
Beer Mug continues to impress.
Beer Mug is magic. By the way, we're going to move along. We've got Ralph here with the Showbiz Beat, but the final word comes from our listener, Carmen, who emails in, guys, about the Taliban guys being peed on. How do we know they hadn't just been stung by a jellyfish? I'm just saying.
That's true.
That's an excellent point, by
no
the way.
No one said that. No one thought of it.
No one thought of that. That would be my defense if I were the Marine.
What if they were on fire? Maybe they're just putting them out.
Might have been on fire. Yeah. Good point. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Lots of showbiz news. After the long weekend, Ryan Cabrera. Are you familiar with Ryan Cabrera's work?
The name.
Yes.
Pop singer,
yeah, me too.
Ryan Cabrera.
Singer, yeah.
Singer,
okay. Yeah.
He needs to slow down.
Yeah.
According to Star Magazine, he's been partying so hard, using drugs and alcohol so much, they ended up having surgery and having 8 inches of his colon removed.
Wow.
Dude.
Was he storing his drugs in his butt? Is that why he had his colon removed?
I've never heard of that from too much drug use.
Yeah, apparently had a rough time of it and had to have some colon removed. And you really should try to keep as much of your colon as you can.
I think that's...
As a rule of thumb.
That's a good general
rule.
I
always suggest it. Hold on to your colons, people. It's my catchphrase. Hold on to your colons, everybody. It's going to be a great night.
I've seen shirts.
Stacey Keibler wants to be an actress.
She looks good at the Golden Globes, didn't she, Ralph?
Let her do whatever she wants to do.
I agree. Put her in whatever.
She was sitting there next to the Clune dog, and for the first time ever, I think my eyes averted from George Clooney to see the person sitting next to him.
But wow, that's saying something.
That's how hot she is, that she actually distracted me from my boy, George Clooney.
Remember when she came in here? She was ridiculously hot and so nice.
And so tall.
Yeah. So tall.
She has about 7 feet of leg.
I don't think it's quite 7 feet.
She's 7 feet long legs.
Okay, I don't think so.
She stands about 13 feet, Kevin.
That's not true.
Know that
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, I didn't realize
she's
that.
She's a just a giant Amazon of a woman who's just lovely and could not be sweeter, and I'm happy for them very much so. But she just signed with William Morris Endeavor, the big-time Hollywood agency, to rep her so she can get more work as an actress. If only she knew someone who was an actor and director who could possibly throw some work her way.
Yeah, that would be good.
If you're Clooney, you're like, I will write you a film. You will play Cleopatra in the next film. I will make it happen. Kid Rock, he's in trouble.
Now what?
Apparently he was smoking a cigar at a Travis Tritt concert in Warren, Michigan on Friday.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. So many things wrong with that statement right there. First of all, he's at a Travis Tritt concert. It's the most glaring one to me. But there was a 58-year-old man there named Randy Snell. You can tell by his name he's up to no good, that Randy Snell.
That guy's a rabble-rouser. Troublemaker.
He has asthma. And he plans on filing a complaint with the health department, he said. You are not allowed to smoke indoors when Travis Tritt is on stage. Detroit News says Kid Rock apologized if he offended anyone with a cigar, and he admits he was drunk at the time. It's not going to stop Randy Snell, who may sue because of that cigar smoke.
Overruled!
Come on.
He was at the show he was at? Sorry.
Yeah.
You're out.
Cigar smoke can only make Travis Tritt's music smell better. Trust me. Travis Tritt. Hey, just want to give you a heads up. Tonight on the TV... Big, big, big night for a series that are returning to action after being on shore leave for a while. Southland is back tonight on TNT.
Oh, that's a good show.
Damn it, I love that show so much. I missed it. So
those guys are coming in next week, I think, Ralph.
Yeah, I believe Ben McKenzie and also Michael Cudlitz will be in. Justified on FX, also going to be there. And then another one of my favorite shows, White Collar, on USA Network.
I love that show as well.
Tonight. With Matthew Bomer and my buddy Tim McKay. So, Tim Decay, rather. So, it's a good night for television. Good stuff.
Let me ask you about a couple of the new shows, Ralph. I've been really falling down on my duties of keeping up with the new shows. But how's the Rob Schneider program?
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, that's debuted already,
gosh,
right?
Yeah.
That's the one where he's married into a Latin family and
hilarity
complications ensue.
Yeah. And the show is called Rob
with an exclamation point on both ends, one upside down and one right side up, because that's
because that's a
Spanish.
Have you seen it yet?
Punctuation. I did see a little bit of the premiere episode.
You know the answer to that question before you
I saw a little bit of the premiere episode.
I didn't know if you'd seen it. Okay, and how was it? Was it awful?
It is a train wreck.
No, I'm saying you knew it would be a train
wreck. It's not Work It awful, but it's awful.
That was the other show I was going to bring. Now, Work It, I never saw, but did, in fact, get canceled after two episodes, right?
Yeah, that's gone.
The hell is Work It?
That was the show people were complaining about before it even aired. It's about two guys, Kevin. They're out of work.
Yeah.
They can't get a job.
Oh.
And there's this company that's hiring women to be sales reps for their new drug. And so they dress up as women to apply for the job, and they get it. Now what, Kevin? Now they have to spend half their lives dressed as women, keeping up this crazy, crazy charade.
Overruled.
It was offensive to everyone on every level, including the two main characters. One's a white guy, one's a Puerto Rican guy, who says in the pilot episode about working for a pharmaceutical company, "Hey, I'm Puerto Rican. I should be great at selling drugs."
Really?
Yeah.
That happened?
The Puerto Ricanos not too pleased with that line.
Unbelievable.
It was offensive to transgenders and to straights and gays and people who like television.
Maybe that was their goal, is to be awful.
Yeah. Well, people who are alive.
They nailed it,
They nailed it, and they are no longer with us.
When I saw the commercial for that, I can't remember what show I was watching over the holidays, and I thought it was like a Saturday Night Live parody of a show. Like, there's no way in 2012 Bosom Buddies is coming back on the air. It's just not possible. I can't believe it made the schedule.
I just think they were too bold. I mean, to do a show where men dress up like women for comic effect, it's unheard of. It's never been done. And I think they tried to break the mold and see what happens.
They were ahead of their time.
Man slaps you down when you try to be original like that. Oh, wait a minute. It's been done since silent movies.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. All right, that's your new TV show update.
Work It. No longer with us. It's Tuesday. It means new DVD, CDs, and TV shows on DVD are available. The Big Pink have a new CD today. Future This, Wonderland by Steve Aoki. And a music from and inspired by Pan Am, the TV series.
Timely.
That TV series is canceled already?
I think Pan Am's still on.
Oh, it is?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
So
really?
The music from Pan Am, the retro music they use on that show.
So they just took all the songs that they've already put on the Mad Men CD and just slapped Pan Am stickers on it, right?
That's right, yes. TV on DVD, Merlin, the complete third season, if you want to catch up on that. And new movies on DVD, Abduction, starring Taylor Lautner.
Not if I see you first. I am so angry I'm going to get on this motorcycle with my gun and I am going to be an action star.
And Ides of March with Ryan Gosling, George Clooney, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. If you did not see Ides of March, do yourself a big, big, big favor and get that on DVD. Excellent film. One of my favorites of the year. Really enjoyed it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adult film actress Sophie D celebrates her 28th birthday today. She's a good deal, that's okay.
Yeah.
Best movie reviewer we've ever had on this show, I'll tell you that.
How dare you, sir?
By far.
Adult film actor Ray J is 31 years old today. Actress Zooey Deschanel, who I wish would be an adult film, she's 32 years old. Kid Rock, excuse me, Kid Rock, we were just talking about his cigar habit. He is 41 years old. DJ Tiesto is 43, as is Naveen Andrews from Lost. Michelle Obama turns 48 today. Jim Carrey is 50. Susanna Hoff of the Bengals is 53. She still looks pretty great for 53, by
the way. She sure does.
I've seen her recently. She's diabolical. Muhammad Ali, 70 years old. Maury Povich, talk show host, is 73. James Earl Jones.
No!
Darth Vader is 81, and Betty White celebrates her 90th birthday today by kicking puppies. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
They were kind of tough to find, but we do have more highlights of the Golden Globes Awards from Sunday night coming up for you here in a couple of minutes on the Kevin Bean Show. Then we'll check in with the TMZ newsroom and see what's up there. Right now, how about our old friend Andrew Siciliano joining us on the phone from the NFL Network. Don't miss Andrew on your TV this afternoon at 4. Hey, Andrew, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, guys. I have the Golden Globes in my DVR. You tell me I shouldn't watch them?
We're telling you that you should not watch them.
Really? They're terrible, Andrew. Seriously,
I
would watch Ricky Gervais's parts. Ralph didn't think he was as funny as I did. I thought he was pretty funny, but other than that, there's really nothing.
It's a really boring show. It's 3 hours long, and it feels like 30. I'm not joking, Andrew.
Well,
seriously,
most award shows. That's why this was different last year, because he made everyone laugh.
Yeah.
If you think he's very tame this year too. We're gonna play some highlights coming up here in a couple minutes for folks who missed it. But let's move on to football over the weekend. It was a fantastic weekend. You'd be hard pressed to name a more exciting game ever than the San Francisco New Orleans game. That was unbelievable, right?
Yeah, you know, there's this old saying in football, it's kind of cliche, but often it's true. Hey, they scored with too much time. Hey, they left too much time. I mean, the most famous being the drive, John Elway, the Browns, and the Broncos, the 86 AFC Championship game. The Browns scored. No, they left too much time, and Elway went down the field in the final minute. You had four, they left too much times in the final 4 minutes of that game, and it was, you know, people said, it's an instant classic, it's the best game we've seen in years. Now, you can argue that that was one of the best playoff games simply ever played.
I agree.
Considering the fact that, again, you have a two seed. You know, the Niners were the underdog in that game. The only home team that was an underdog this weekend were the 49ers, and they were the two seed. They had the higher seed. That's why they were playing at home. New Orleans was the three seed. They went on the road. New Orleans has scored 45 points in each of its last three games, and everyone knew that the battle here would be the New Orleans defense, rather the New Orleans offense against the San Francisco defense, and that the Saints would score fewer points. But no one thought that Alex Smith, the Niners quarterback, would twice in the final 5 minutes answer with his own two drives, regardless of what you think of the Saints defense. And that's what made that game such a classic, and it's a game they'll be talking about in San Francisco for decades.
And it's been an awful long time since the 49ers have even been in the playoffs, right? I mean, this has just been a Cinderella season for them. But they've been great since game one this year. I mean, the 49ers are for real. There's no question about that. And they sure proved it again. And I'll tell you, it's hard to see Drew Brees lose. I love that guy so much. And he's got nothing to be ashamed of the way he played.
He actually tweeted yesterday, so tough to go through these meetings, you know, the exit meetings. My heart hurts. It was one of those, you know, we laugh at athlete tweets sometimes.
Did you cry, Andrew? Did you cry at that one?
I don't know if he cried on Twitter.
I think you cried.
How would one justify their crying on Twitter? I did not cry. I was on the edge of my seat, actually, back east with my folks watching the game on the TV. But he is such a likable guy, and it's odd. Some people are able to just cut through everything with their modesty, and he is one of those people. You know, Tim Tebow's a different phenomenon. Drew Brees cuts through everything with his modesty and his spectacular play. I mean, he rewrote Dan Marino's record for most passing yards in a season, and the guy is second to none on the field, with the exception of Brady or maybe Rodgers, but off the field, he just has that something to him where people are drawn to him.
Speaking of Brady, is he a robot? He just seems like one. He seems like he's never rattled. He threw an interception and a couple of bad passes, but he seems to be spot on. What record did he set? Five touchdown throws in the first half?
Yeah, and then he threw six. Do you think he's an evil robot?
Well, I'm not a big fan, although...
Well, we were talking about it earlier, Andrew. You can't tell. If you turn on a game and you can't see the score, and all you see is Brady sitting on the bench, all right? All you see is him ready to go in. You can't tell from looking at him whether he's 50 points up or 50 points down. It just seems like they haven't programmed any emotions into his face, whoever made the robot.
You know...
Bill Belichick made the robot.
This is a shameless plug, but last night NFL Network, I'm sure, will rerun it. The Bill Belichick A Football Life documentary, where you actually hear Belichick mic'd up, and there's a lot of Brady in there as well. He actually isn't a robot, but kind of, you know, Brees always shows you that modesty. Brady always shows you that stoic look. He got fired up after that first interception in the first quarter.
Yeah.
He got really fired up, but you're not going to see it. You could see him cursing himself under his helmet, but once he gets to the sideline, other than a couple of pats on the knee for his offensive lineman or maybe a little encouragement for the wide receivers, you're not going to see it. That's why, you know, Bill O'Brien, the new head coach at Penn State, the guy that took over for Joe Paterno, Bill O'Brien really made a name for himself. I think football people knew who he was, but he busted onto the public scene when, about 2 months ago, he was on the sideline just screaming at Brady. I mean, dropping bombs like you would not believe, because Brady threw a bad pass. He got intercepted in the end zone, and Brady eventually got up and screamed back at him, and they pulled the coach away. But that was one of those rare moments. And I think also for the coach, you know, it said to people, hey, this guy's willing to get in Tom Brady's face. Hey, give him the Penn State job.
Why? I know we don't have as much time as we'd like, Andrew. We could go all day with this weekend. But why does Belichick leave Brady in even when the game is so far out of hand? Why not rest him and you know, save him up for next week?
It's a great question. And here's the other thing, too, is very often when he does take Brady out and puts in, well, now the backup is a guy named Brian Hoyer, when they put in the backup, they still throw the ball. It's not as if they put the backup in and they just run. Mm-hmm. There's part of that old school attitude, hey, it's our job to score, it's your job to stop us. Sportsmanship be damned.
Yeah.
We're all professionals here. We're all getting a paycheck. It's almost more disrespectful to take a knee and stop trying. He's from that school.
Oh, he thinks he's being respectable by scoring.
It's a matter of opinion. I mean, that's one that goes right down the middle. Right. It's really, you can argue it well either way. I'm kind of the school. Granted, I never played football at that level. I'm kind of the school. There gets to a point where you just kind of back off a bit.
Right.
You know, just back off of it. He doesn't do that. No. And not only does he not do that, he keeps on throwing. He keeps on doing his thing. And I think there was also something there in this game against the Broncos. It would never be admitted, but hey, you know what? Tebow beat the Steelers. He's a fourth quarter guy. We're kind of sick of this. We're going to keep going here.
Yeah, remember us. We're the team that actually goes to the Super Bowl and wins them, right?
Exactly.
Don't forget about us.
But
right?
The beauty,
we're the team that deserves the headlines here.
But the beauty of Coach Belichick is that he's not happy today no matter what.
I'm sure he's complaining.
He's miserable. They made a lot of mistakes. He always seems angry and upset, and that makes me happy.
And you know what? This was their first playoff win in their last four tries. Since they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl in Phoenix, they had not won a playoff game, and they had lost two in rather spectacular fashion at home to the Ravens first and then the Jets. See, that's the other thing about the Patriots in that game. Everyone wants to pick the Patriots. The average fan doesn't remember that the team hasn't won in a while. I mean, in football terms. So that was their we are back, I think, kind of moment. Yet at the same time, they have reached the AFC title game. So now they're one win away from the Super Bowl. You know, guys, they have yet to beat a team all year with a winning record.
That's shocking.
Is that right? Okay, well, we're out of time. But speaking of the championship, conference championships, you got the Ravens against the Patriots. How does that look?
I'll take the Patriots.
And Giants and 49ers.
Wow. And this could be the game. The best game in 10 years. I know that sounds absurd. I will take the home team here because after what Alex Smith did and after what Jim Harbaugh has done to that team this year, I am now officially on the bandwagon and I will not vote against them.
All right.
They are the sexy team to root for. And I know we don't have time to discuss it, but I have no idea why the Packers just couldn't get up and get going over the weekend. That was a shocker to me.
It's rust versus rest, and rust won.
Exactly. Andrew Siciliano is our NFL analyst here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's been very kind all season long to join us on the day after the weekend, and you want to catch him on the TV this afternoon starting at 4 on the NFL Network. I'm sure you got a great show planned, and we'll talk to you again next time. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
We'll find out what was going on with Heather Locklear and the 911 call with TMZ.com in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up, too. But first, more highlights from the Golden Globes. They were on Sunday night. Sometimes it's a very good show, sometimes, because you got the biggest stars in the world are there, and this was your Brad Pitt and your Angelina Jolie and your George Clooney and, you know, all those people were there, and they drink heavily. So sometimes it's a lot of fun.
They didn't seem to be drinking heavily.
There wasn't much drinking going on this year, and there wasn't much entertainment. I mean, there were a couple of moments, I think, when Amy Poehler and Will Arnett came out, and they did a little bit of a funny sketch. I mean, there were a couple of people who tried to entertain, but in general, people just got up there and were boring.
Yeah, it was rough. It was hosted by Ricky Gervais.
I'm Ricky Gervais, and welcome to the 69th annual Golden Globe Awards. Tonight, you get Britain's biggest comedian hosting the world's second biggest award show on America's third biggest network. Sorry, is it? It's fourth. It's fourth.
He made a hand signal like it just went from third to fourth right then, right that moment. He came back. He was the host last year, and they gave him some rules.
They actually gave me a list of rules. I'm going to ignore them, but I thought it'd be good to read them out, okay? This is real, okay? No profanity. That's fine. I've got a huge vocabulary. No nudity. See, that's a shame, because I've got a huge vocabulary. But a tiny penis. No, it's true. Doesn't matter. I don't care. It works. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. I don't... No smut or innuendo. And I'm not to libel anyone. And I mustn't mention Mel Gibson this year. Not his private life, his politics, his recent films, and especially not Jodie Foster's Beaver. I haven't seen it myself. I've spoken to a lot of guys here, they haven't seen it either, but that doesn't mean it's not any good.
See, because that's the name of her movie that he was in.
Right, and then it has another meaning that could suggest that a lot of men have not seen what's going on. I understand. No, yes. I got it. Look, it had a couple of good lines. I expect more from Ricky Gervais. It wasn't half the performance last year's was. It seemed pretty toothless to me. I mean, it really seemed like he was defanged. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree. I find it very funny, but it was good, but not great. Like, you were hoping for more?
And it's also tough. I mean, they really kill the momentum on a show like this when the host goes away for 30 minutes at a time. I mean, and then it's just the voiceover guy. I mean, I could use a lot more entertainment on a show about the entertainment industry.
Last year, our next presenter won both the Golden Globe and the Oscar for her brilliant performance in Black Swan. This year, she took some time out to have a baby. Consequently, she's been nominated for nothing. Really pathetic. But she's learned that valuable lesson that all you already knew, never put family first. Please welcome the very foolish Natalie Portman.
Who's always amazingly beautiful.
Yes.
But tonight, the light of the night, as far as I'm concerned, the highlight, there was one highlight last night, or Sunday night, I'm sorry. And that was Kate Beckinsale when she came out with Seth Rogen, and Seth Rogen had a little something to say.
Please welcome the star of the upcoming film Underworld, Kate Beckinsale, and the producer and co-star of 50-50, Seth Rogen.
Hello, I'm Seth Rogen, and I am currently trying to conceal a massive erection.
Oh, nice.
In this next category, we have four women who have been here many times before, and one newcomer.
Here are the nominees for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Comedy or Musical.
That was pretty good.
It was very funny. And that was one of the few genuine laughs that I sensed that people actually really enjoyed Sunday night. We'll have to ask Kate Beckinsale. We have her on the show tomorrow. We'll have to ask her if that was a total surprise or if he just, you know, surprised her with that when they stepped out on stage. Because I can't imagine that was on the teleprompter,
I can't imagine it was either. No, nobody
Seth
wrote
is
that.
The best.
He is the best.
TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. We love to catch up with them in the newsroom after the weekend. Dax Holt joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
Sorry, my bad. My bad.
Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Lisa's actually out sick today, we're sorry to say. Or she went skiing and decided not to come back. She won't tell us the truth, so who knows what's going on.
Man, all right.
It happens.
Dax, we got a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. I just wanted to ask real quick, because I'm sure you discussed this. What was your take in the newsroom on Golden Globes? Did you guys think it sucked as much as we did?
Yeah, but you know what? The problem is I just don't watch them anymore. I don't get excited to watch any of these award shows because they're just boring these days. And I thought I was going to be interested because Ricky was pretty funny last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Not so funny this year, though.
Not so funny.
They tamed him down so much that he's a funny dude, but, you know, when you got a lot of people with their hand on your head, it's kind of hard to be that funny.
Yeah. No, I think that's the general consensus. Well, you guys were hard at work over the weekend tracking down details on this Heather Locklear story. I'm not sure I even still understand what happened, but until you broke the story about the 911 call last week, I had kind of forgotten about Heather Locklear. She has really been laying low since she and Jack Wagner broke up, right?
Yeah, she hasn't been out. You know, she went to the Laker game the other day, but that was kind of the first we had seen her in a while. And then the next day, 911 got called. Her sister called 911 because I guess Heather was having some severe stomach pains. Well, the paramedics show up at the house, performed a couple tests, and decided, oh, she's not in good condition. We need to take her into the ICU right now.
To the ICU?
And, yeah, apparently she had a really nasty combination of prescription drugs and alcohol, so her body wasn't taken so well. So they took her in, got her stabilized. And the thing now is her family wants her to go to rehab. And they say they don't want it some fluffy little rehab. They wanted a serious one at a medical center. They're pushing for the UCLA Med Center where Lindsay's gone before. You know, it's pretty a pretty good one. And so they say, go there, do this now. And she's not really wanting to go.
She's been to rehab before, right, Dax?
Yeah, she was actually in rehab back in October that no one knew about. And now with this latest incident, people are now finding out, oh, she was in rehab in October. It obviously didn't really do too much good. And now she's dealing with her demons again.
Hmm. Did she have a DUI at some point in her past, too?
I feel like she's had some, but I... what
you don't have
it
in front of you, yeah.
I remember arrest photos from like 3 years ago where the cops showed up and arrested her, and I think that was for a DUI.
It's so weird. I mean, look, celebrities are not immune to, you know, becoming addicted to alcohol. I mean, it happens to people, you know, all over the place. But I always wonder when somebody like Heather Locklear doesn't work for a really long time, I always wonder if that's part of the reason why. Like, is that why she hasn't been working?
The other thing is you got a lot of time on your hands if you're not having a job. So you're like, okay, I'll fill it with time to do drugs.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. I mean, I like her. I think most people like her. I mean, she's great on television. She's a beautiful woman. Obviously, I'm pulling for that situation to work out. It's good that she's got at least friends and family that are trying to push her toward the right direction, though. I hope it works.
The thing is, I hope that she decides that she wants to go. Because I think, like Dr. Droy says, you know, if the patient isn't willing to go, then it's kind of a lost cause until they really accept the fact that they have a problem.
Exactly.
What can you tell us, changing topics now, on Elton John and Madonna from from Sunday night?
Gosh, a highfalutin dogfight here. But so we got Elton John, who did not win for Best Song at the Golden Globes, and Madonna did. And directly after Madonna did her bougie speech up there.
No, her speech was so annoying.
That Michigan accent is sure getting weird sounding, isn't it?
She sounds British, and she's like, when my manager kept forcing me to do a song, and I said no.
How many times can someone relate to themselves during an acceptance speech?
Her.
But
before, I don't know if you saw, but before the show, Elton John said there's no effing way she'll win.
Exactly. And then she wins.
Yeah.
And so it really ticked him off, but then really ticked off his husband, David Furnish, who went on Facebook, which I love that his husband has a Facebook page, and said, Madonna, best song, F off, and then just starts bashing on her, saying her speech was embarrassing and it's narcissism.
It was.
It pretty much
just
was.
About everything he's saying is correct.
I mean, look, she made the movie, and then she put her song in the movie and on the soundtrack, and she almost was. It was almost like she was talking about herself in the third person. And I want to thank the talented Madonna for giving Madonna the singer the opera. I mean, it just was incestuous. It was just so crazy.
It's not like you expected, though. You know, it's Madonna. So what else do you? She knows what she's doing. She's a brilliant PR marketer. Everything she says gets her in the headlines.
Well, especially since a regular person is never going to hear about or even see that movie, or didn't even know that she has a record coming out. And of course, you know, she'll get a lot of exposure at the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks, but right now this movie is just A, supposed to be terrible, and B, so under the radar that I guess she's doing everything she can to get people talking about it. But it seems like she's just enjoying it, and Elton John just looks so pissed every time they shot him in the audience. He just had that cranky look on his face.
What
he was
a little
miserable
baby he was. I mean, come on, you're sitting there, you can drink, either leave or you don't sit there and scowl like a baby.
I know, like he doesn't have enough awards already. Come
Seriously.
On.
Yeah, he did win an Oscar, for God's sakes. Come on.
Who was it, Ralph Bean? One of you brought up the fact that he looks like there's no bones in his body anymore. He's just all fat, flab.
Mush.
Yeah, he's just a little like midget mush. He just looks weird now.
I love it. Well, I like this kind of fight.
I know, it's funny. You guys need to figure out a way to get them in a ring and just to settle it or something. All right, we're out of time for right now. Dax in the TMZ newsroom. Check out TMZ.com for all your entertainment needs 24/7. They do a tremendous job, and, of course, the TMZ television show as well. Thanks for coming on, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it is 8:54.
Why are you screaming? Why are you yelling, Ralph?
It seemed appropriate. Got caught up in the excitement of it all.
Guys, we haven't mentioned this yet today, but today is the 18th anniversary of the Northridge earthquake, which I don't think most people will never forget, but we'll never forget because we were on the air that morning. We came in that morning after the earthquake and worked. But, Ralph, this was before you joined our show. What was your experience like that day? Do you remember?
I do. I was in the foothills above Glendale back in the day. I lived up in La Cañada, Flint Ridge area.
So you just laughed at those of us?
La Crescenta, La Cañada area. And so it's pretty solid up there. The mountains are pretty solid. It's not like being in the valley or at the beach where it's a lot more fluid, the ground. So I knew there had been an earthquake. It felt, you know, like a shaker, but I thought, well, that wasn't too bad. And then I started to watch on television and see all the destruction in the valley and stuff. It really kind of blew me away. But the thing was, the reason I remembered, I had a pause because We were in rehearsals. I was doing a live show, a touring, national touring show of a show called The Real Life Brady Bunch. We were in rehearsals that week.
Okay.
And the facility where we were having our rehearsals fell down.
Sweet.
And we had to find a new place to finish up. And then we left town right afterwards. So I was on the road for about 6 months after that, so I didn't really have to deal with all the craziness with the traffic and the tent collapsing and all the other stuff.
But I was at ground zero with that. I was right there. It was right under my house.
Yeah, you're right there in the valley.
It's unbelievable.
My wife, my now wife, she wasn't then, she was on the second floor of an apartment complex.
Ooh.
And the building collapsed a floor. So she looked out her window, and she was on street level at
And she
suddenly.
Was okay?
And she used to be on the second floor. Now she's at street level when she looks out the window.
What about all the dead people that were under her, though?
The people who were underneath her had been away on a vacation. So there was nobody underneath her.
Bee's trying desperately to turn this conversation south.
She opened her window and stepped out of the window onto the sidewalk. It was unbelievable. It was like the whole thing just dropped an entire floor.
Now, it's amazing that there were less than 60 deaths, considering the extent of the damage that was done by that earthquake. And most of those were in that one apartment building. And it's a miracle to me, because I was living in the Santa Clarita Valley at the time. It's a miracle to me that I was able to even get to work, because remember the 14 collapsed, and they had already, but at this point, the earthquake was at 4:30, and by 5 o'clock, whenever I was coming to work, they had already put up the detours and rerouted the street traffic around that collapse. It was just amazing how quickly they sprung into action.
I'd like to get those people back on road duty.
Yeah, no kidding, right? 18 years ago today, though, that was the big one. Wow. So,
and that's Earthquake Talk. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been Earthquake
that's
Talk.
Quake Talk. You're listening to Quake Talk here on K-Rock, your earthquake station.
It's Bee's new feature 18 years ago today.
Let's change
that was
topics,
Bean's time
Sal.
Machine. Tomorrow, the Abraham Lincoln assassination. Where were you when you heard Honest Abe was shot at the Ford Theater? We'd like to take your phone call.
I'm sorry, I just noted it, and I thought it would be worth bringing up, but apparently not.
Bean Baxter's Time Warp.
Time for the show to speak.
New special. Cyndi Lauper's pissed, and you do not want Cyndi Lauper pissed at you. Turns out Mitt Romney is using her classic 1986 chart topper True Colors as his campaign song when he shows up at these political rallies.
Okay. Kevin, you saw her on Celebrity Apprentice within the last couple of seasons.
Oh,
Cyndi
that's
Lauper.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Terrible song.
Rainbow. But how is that good for a political campaign?
Because Mitt Romney's going to show you his true colors, man.
I get the tie-in. But
I don't think you do. I don't think so.
Who are you, Elvis?
Yes. I don't understand why these people just don't ask the artist of the songs they want to use for permission before they use it. Because invariably, the artist steps up and says, no, you can't use my song. And then they look like an ass, and it always becomes a news story.
This is like the 100th time in a row that a politician has had to stop using, you know, whether it's John McCain, I think, was using Tom Petty or something, and Sarah Palin was using Hart's Barracuda. I mean, it keeps happening over and over again.
Just learn the lesson and ask first before you use it.
Most people probably say no.
Well, then pick another song. Find someone who will. Look, I bet you can use Red Solo Cup, Mitt Romney.
Sure.
I'm sure he'll let you use that.
This is Ron Paul's song. They're filing. Apparently,
laugh, but he uses the Darth Vader Imperial March.
Does he really?
Rallies. Yes. He steps on stage and goes, bum, 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 ba-da,
I love that.
Bum, ba-da. And they say, why are you using that? And he says, because they keep saying, be afraid of me. Be scared of me. I'm a loose cannon. I'm a card I need to be dealt with. And, and so he's mocking all the other political candidates who say Ron Paul is dangerous. So he says, oh, if I'm dangerous, I must be like Darth Vader.
Well, I'm not going to look. This is not a political statement, but just for aesthetic reasons, I can't vote for a guy who picks a Cyndi Lauper song as his campaign song. I just can't.
If he had picked Shebop, then I would vote.
Then,
for
then you're in, right?
That's about female masturbation.
Girls just want to have fun.
So that's also about female masturbation. Okay. I think every Cyndi Lauper song is about female masturbation. Pretty sure True Colors is too.
Time after time, that's certainly.
That is time after time.
Is this Kevin coming up with song titles from the 80s, by the way? What's going on?
Hey, that did just happen.
It did.
Wow.
Are you just some kind of treatment over the long weekend?
How dare you?
Some brain operation or something?
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Sorry, that was the wrong button.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
That's all. Kevin hit the wrong button. At least we're back. No, you know, we got our Kevin back.
Didn't last long.
I had to write things quickly.
This is Flowers for Algernon in like 30 seconds. Thanks, Charlie.
I don't even know what that means. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all right. Today's celebrity birthday is Sophie D. Adult actress Sophie D is 28 years old today. The one day you guys had her in, I was out sick.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah.
I really wanted to see them. Her.
She did topless movie reviews for us.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
Ray J, singer Ray J, is 31 years old today. Zooey Deschanel, lovely star of New Girl, which I believe is new tonight. I think there's a new Girl tonight. He's 32 years old. Kid Rock's 41. DJ Tiesto is 43. Naveen Andrews, who played Saeed on Lost, 43 years old. Michelle Obama, 48 years old. Jim Carrey, 50. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals is 53. Muhammad Ali turns 70 years old today. James Earl Jones celebrates his 81st birthday. And actress Betty White is a spry 90. Got a hot series on TV Land, Hot in Cleveland, and has a new series debuting on NBC.
What is happening?
Where old people punk young people, Kevin. You would hate it. Because old people actually come out with the upper hand. Which just must make you cry, Kevin, that they're not all just dying.
Fiction.
Ugh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We hadn't mentioned yet. I actually put up a post today. I have a new series going. It's my my favorite ass-kicking women. Because this Friday, there's two movies that come out. There's Underworld.
Mm-hmm. With Kate Beckinsale.
And there's also Haywire with Gina Carano. So my category is ass-kicking women in entertainment. Today is Maggie Q.
Oh, yeah.
Who Nikita. Is on Nikita, which is one of my favorite shows on Friday night on the CW. So
tell me there are lots of pictures of Maggie Q at your KROQ.com post.
Pictures, video pictures, and video.
Let me tell you about what I posted on KROQ.com.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave, the King of Mexico.
What's happening?
I don't know. People are just jumping on the air today
for some reason. I was excited about
this our own show. Did you put up Hot Chicks?
No. I put up the Clippers destroying the Lakers.
Yeah!
There's a photo gallery of the game on from Saturday night.
Let's see if I get this straight. All right.
Yeah.
My photos are of Maggie Q.
Yeah.
Hot chick. Yours are of
Blake Griffin dunking on Andrew Bynum's head.
Mm. Yeah. I just went to your post, Dave. Do we need 21 pictures from that game from the weekend?
I don't have that many.
Yes, because they're all of Blake Griffin flying gloriously through the air, dunking on all the Lakers, and it's amazing. It's beautiful. You have to see it. Because if you didn't see the game, which the Clippers dominated.
All right, take it easy here.
This was the first meeting of the year between the Clippers and the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
How many times did they play throughout the season?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's getting paid. Somebody made a bet. Somebody just got paid.
Woo!
Shoot.
Yeah.
What was your question, Bean?
How many times a year do the two teams play?
I think like four or six.
Normally it's four, but with the shortened season, it's going to be three this year.
Three.
Yeah.
Going to be three. All right. Yeah. So they won round one.
Round one goes to the Clippers.
We bet every year, Dave and I, because he's a Laker hater and I'm a Laker lover. He's not a Clipper fan. He's just a Laker hater. So we bet every year and I win every year. And now we started having to take bets where we would go, okay, I would bet him that the Lakers will make it to the finals before the season. Like, I really had to give me some big. Now that
it's pretty sad. Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Now that the Clippers are for real and they have superstars, it's really. Now it's starting to swing the other way, I think. I think I'm going to end up paying more this year than.
Well, this is a perfect example because before Psycho Mike would bet me that the Clippers would never lead.
Right.
And he won that bet once.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But now that you can't say that anymore.
No, you can't.
Yeah. And
no,
if I would have made that same bet this game, I would have won that bet. Lakers
the Clippers,
never
the Clippers,
led that game.
Wow, that is impressive. Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you what, and look, we all knew it was a different deal for the Clippers this year with Chris Paul coming in. But to beat the Heat and the Lakers in the same week is pretty darn impressive for any team.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, especially for Kobe scoring 42 points, which was, his third, fourth game in a row, which is amazing.
I got news for you, though. As a Laker fan, that's not good. To me, as a Laker fan, if we depend on Kobe to score 40 to 50 points, we lose more than we win. If we get him to only score 25 points, that means the rest of the team's involved. It's much better.
That is true.
I don't like it like that, but you did end up winning, and I guess we have to play your song as part of the bet.
Exactly. You know what that means? Hit it.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me.
I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clipper's not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here, you know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey, all-stars. Take your pick. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Laker era is over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Blake goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. And Chauncey. Lob City. Clippers in the zone, Staples Center our home. You about to get owned, Lakers be dethroned. That's right, Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shout outs to Clipper Darryl, DJ Dance. I see you dance. What up, Fung? Day the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
I speak truth.
Is that the only song that the out cue is Suck It, Kevin?
I think so.
Ralph Garman is here in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
It is a Tuesday, but it was a long weekend, so we'll take a look at the box office and see what movies made the most money over the long holiday weekend. Contraband came in at number one with $28.8 million. Contraband, the story of a musical group made up of freedom fighters, the Contraband, and they...
Nope. That's not what it was at all.
What the...
And, it was Mark Wahlberg.
Whoa.
Trying to get out of the drug trade, run, make his life, you know, go back in.
That movie looked generic and forgettable to me just from seeing the commercials. Like, I got the... It seemed like the kind of movie you go in and see and you might... not remember that you saw it a week later.
Generic. They're young. They're not elderly people. Why would you even use that phrase from Mark Wahlberg?
What is wrong with you?
It was being. It was a little bit better.
Very standard.
It was better than that. But,
was it okay?
But it's not. But it's not.
So he was trying to get out, but they pulled him back
in.
Is that what happened?
It was better
than
that.
And then they threatened his wife and family, and that's when they went too far.
Yes, but it's not as good as, say, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I've already seen twice. You know, I'm not going to be down to go back.
You see every movie twice, though, pretty much,
well,
right?
Well, just so, because I
it's
only get about
stick.
I only get about half of the movie the first time.
And then he goes home on the internet and goes, what does that mean?
I did that with Taylor, Sailor, Tinker, Spy, or whatever that movie was. And then go home and go, what did this mean?
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast 3D was number two at the box office, and $23.5 million. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol was third. A Joyful Noise, in its debut, made $13.8 million. Who went to that? Who wanted to see Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah square off in a choir competition? Who, I ask you?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't.
It'll get the Golden Globe next year, I'm sure, for best film. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, was fifth. The Devil Inside was sixth. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, as Kevin mentioned, was seventh. Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked came in at number eight. Warhorse, and We Bought a Zoo were the remaining top ten. The Iron Lady, just outside the top ten. It's a brand new, limited release, made $6.5 million. I can't imagine that's going to make a lot of money.
No.
I don't think people really want to see the Margaret Thatcher story that much.
And I hear that as amazing as Meryl Streep always is, and she apparently continues to be, that the movie's just okay beyond that, beyond her being great.
Yeah. I want to make a quick correction. I was corrected by a listener. The Cyndi Lauper True Colors story, the song was being used.
Yes.
I claimed by Mitt Romney's camp. It turned out it was being used in a political ad attacking Mitt Romney.
Oh, saying he was.
By another candidate.
Yeah, like it matters at this point.
And it doesn't really matter. But Cyndi said, regardless, she did not give permission for that song to be used. So she said, that must be removed from the commercial. Mr. Romney can discredit himself without the use of my work, she said. So I guess she's still not a fan. Stacey Keibler wants to be an actress.
Let her be.
Where she was on Dancing with the Stars. She had small roles on Chuck and How I Met Your Mother. And now she seems to have taken a liking.
Yep.
To acting and wants to... do it more full-time. She just signed with William Morris Endeavor, the big superpower agency. And we can look forward to seeing more of her on the big screen. Hey, look, I'm all for it.
Me too.
Things, if worst comes to worst, they can just, I don't know, remove her voice and dub it in. Dub it in with another actress.
They don't like they did with Gina Carano.
What?
They don't do that, Ralph.
You mean?
Don't be ridiculous.
She?
That's never been done.
It's not actually unheard of. In the movie Greystoke, the Tarzan movie Greystoke.
Yeah.
Andy McDowell plays Jane to Tarzan. Tarzan's Jane. After the film was over, they were like, can we get Glenn Close to come in here and read all her lines? So Glenn Close came in and redubbed the entire performance.
But only the voice.
Just the voice.
To match up with the other woman's performance. Wow, that's weird.
So, happens sometimes.
That's weird.
Kate Winslet has just been cast in a new movie. Kenneth Branagh will be directing. Glad to see him directing more and more lately. He's real good.
Yeah.
He did, of course, Thor. And now he's directing a movie. Kevin will love it. It's called the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
What's the real title?
It's just Kevin's kind of film.
Seriously.
The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Okay.
It's about potatoes and books, Kevin.
That's so hot.
That's so dumb.
It's not, though, because it's about a woman's book club in Guernsey, the islands off of the coast of England. A woman's book club.
You already lost me. You lose me at book club.
Wait, that they gathered together as a means to spy on the Germans during World War II because they were occupying the islands. So these women get together this book club and they use it to sneak out information about what the Nazis are doing on the Guernsey Islands during World War II.
See? I love anything spy.
See?
Not this.
And they probably bake the secrets inside the potato peel pies.
I have a clip if you'd like to hear one of the
They haven't
lines.
Even made it yes, yet. They just cast this.
I know, but they already put out a clip online.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Here's a little bit.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
So you can't really
I'm going to need subtitles. I
understand what that means.
TV highlights tonight. Justified on FX returns with its season premiere. Southland on TNT. I can't wait.
That's a good show.
Wonder if Cudlitz's character's clean now. I think he went to rehab the last episode of the last season that we saw.
Remember, he was crawling out of the car in the desert, throwing up. That was good times.
He was looking for pills in the dirt.
Yeah.
It was a mess. And White Collar also returns as well.
Another good show.
Another really good show.
You know, that dude can wear a hat.
He can. Matthew Bomer, let me tell you something.
Is that his name?
I am no Mo, but he is a fine-looking piece of man, that Bom.
But he really does wear too many hats.
He loves hats.
I know.
It's his character.
That's like
saying Superman wears too many capes.
I'm just saying.
That's part of his character. He wears the hat.
Got the hat thing.
Why can't he just wear it?
He has to wear like seven different hats
per episode. Why can't he just wear hats?
I'm saying enough already with the hats.
Why does he have to stop?
It's an interesting show
it's
without
his
the hats.
Character. He should just continue to wear the hats.
He sure does wear hats.
That's his character.
Tell you what, nobody wears a hat like he does.
It's like saying you stop wearing shorts. You have to wear shorts every day of your life. No matter what the temperature is, you wear goddamn shorts. Enough with the shorts already. But it's what you do. You wear shorts.
I'm saying he wears a lot of hats.
I'm saying leave the hats alone. There's nothing wrong with the hats.
Having said that, I'm a big fan of that show as well. Just fewer hats.
Speaking of television, I have an announcement to make.
Yes.
A confession, really.
Uh-oh.
I'm back on The Bachelor again. I'm hooked on The Bachelor.
Oh, no.
But I was watching it last night.
Right? No.
And Ben takes his 14 girls on a date.
Come on.
And they go, they're at San Francisco. And so they say, we're going to go skiing. Let's all go skiing.
Who gives it, damn?
And they're like, it's 85 degrees. Ben, we can't go skiing. That's ridiculous. So he takes them to the top of a really high hill in San Francisco. I don't know if you've been to San Francisco.
I just don't care at all.
But they've got some very steep streets there. And it turns out the production company has blown snow and made this entire street a ski slope.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
So these 14 very hot, attractive bachelorettes that are trying to woo our man Ben stripped down to bikinis.
Okay, wait a minute. What?
Get into their snow skis.
Yes.
And are skiing downhill, falling over and bending over backwards and, like, doing the splits and everything. And I turn to my wife. I go, wait a minute, didn't this show used to be for women? Because now this is the greatest television I've ever seen. Hot chicks skiing in bikinis falling over on the street
in San
Francisco.
If that happens three episodes in a row, then I'll check it out.
Look, I'm just happy for small miracles, you know?
And this Ben is a zero, right?
He's a doofus.
Just a doofus, right?
Just a big
Not a good-looking guy, no personality. He's not even rich, right?
Nope.
What's the draw here? Just women want to beat other women?
I think that's what it is. And there's some crazy women in this Bachelor. That's the reason they got me. Because the second episode, was like, this is already happening this early in? This one girl is, like, attacking the other one, and there's going to be a fight? And it was very, very exciting.
253, 254. It's almost 3 minutes we talked about The Bachelor!
You want to go off on hats some more? You want to do another hat? You want to do another hat rant?
No, but had plenty of time to make fun of hats, didn't he?
We saved plenty of time with the hat chunk that you burst into.
Ralph's talking about hot chicks in bikinis, snow skiing. Give him a minute.
He wears hats. He sure wears hats.
He does wear a lot of hats.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
In my own defense.
Adult actress Sophie D. She's 28 years old today. She's a Welsh actress, a Welsh descent, I believe, and she does some spectacular work in her own line of filmmaking. Singer Ray J is 31 years old today. You may remember him as the co-star of I Put the Dash in Kim Kardashian. I think that was the name of his film. Zooey Deschanel is 32 years old. Kid Rock turns 41. DJ Tiesto is...
DJ Tiesto.
Go Tiesto.
I'm sorry, that's Bjork.
I thought it was.
You thought it was Tiesto?
Yeah. No, oh. I thought it was Bjork.
It was Bjork.
Then I was like, why is he saying it's DJ Tiesto?
Sometimes we play different music.
I understand, but that wasn't different enough, I think, to be sort of funny. It wasn't like goat horror or something. It just seemed...
It could have been Ray, for all I know.
Could have been at the beginning. It absolutely could have been him. That's why I say I don't see the big difference.
All right.
If it had been Red Solo Cup or something, then I see the comic value of that.
Continue, sir.
Want to do more
guy
hats?
Wears a lot of hats.
He does wear too many hats,
Naveen
though, right?
Andrews from Lost is 43 years old. Michelle Obama is 48. Jim Carrey.
Let's hear it for vegetables. Yeah!
It's Michelle Obama talking about vegetables.
Wow.
Jim Carrey's 50 years old today. Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals is 53 years old. Do you have any Bengals music, Kevin? Do you have any Bengals music over there?
I do, as a matter of fact. Thank you for asking that,
the
right?
Bengals? Oh, there we go. See? That's funny because it's very different from what the Bengals sound like. Mm. Yeah. Steve Harvey, actor and comedian, is 55. Muhammad Ali, former heavyweight champion of the world. Current shake champion. He is 70 years old today.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Talk show host Maury Povich
is
73.
You are not happy with yourself right now.
Come on, Ralph. Look, they don't put Dick Clark on TV since the stroke. They shouldn't be talking about Muhammad Ali boxing or shaking or anything anymore. Just let him go.
Actor James Earl Jones is 81 years old today. I wish he had been at the tribute to Morgan Freeman last night instead of Sidney Poitier.
Oh, my God. That went on forever.
Not last night, but the night of the Golden Globes. I just think we lost a lot of time there with Sidney. And Betty White, actress, icon, pet lover. She is 90 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a problem in-house we have to take care of. I believe DJ Omar Khan is not going to be able to go to Coachella.
Khan!
If his wife gives birth as planned.
Well, just sew her knee shut.
So we're going to have to call her tomorrow and explain that to her.
She's got some explaining to do.
Yeah, take care of that. Bean's Death Corner tomorrow.
Oh, is it the guy who owned the Cracker Barrel chain?
Could be.
It's been a while. First new Bean's Death Corner for 2012. I'm excited. We got some good stories.
Oh, yeah. The kid's been begging for it.
Comedian Rob Delaney in the studio. We have a little bit, man by the name of Dave Hester.
Yep.
Dave, on the show tomorrow.
Dave, I'm going to straighten Dave right there.
I was going to ask how you're going to handle Mr. Hester.
It's game
on.
I know
you're very angry with him.
Yes, it is. And it's going to be a throwdown.
Yep.
That's tomorrow. And, Kate Beckinsale.
What?
Star of Underworld, Kate Beckinsale.
She was in Contraband, too.
Yes, she was. Yeah. Not enough of her.
Hey. Does she wear hats?
She didn't wear any hats.
She doesn't wear any hats.
We will talk to her tomorrow, and that's the show. So enjoy.